Blog Talk Radio.
Na zitina, isi 17th. And, you know, we got some crazy shit that's going on in the world, ladies and gentlemen. So please call in, you know, with your questions, comments, and concerns at 516-418-5996. I'm Shabaka Sankara, your co-producer. I'm here with Brother Che and Krumah. Good evening there to you, Brother Che. How's things there in a mile high income city? Brother Che, are you there? Okay, alrighty. I'm sure Brother Che, you know what.
I'm here, Shabaka. Oh, you couldn't hear me at all.
Yeah. Okay. We got you. So the main things, you know, as we all know, what's going on is what's happening over there in the Middle East. Hyde and Biden says that he's getting ready to deploy 2,000 troops over there. Also, too,
there's fools over here that's trying to go to the fight in the war on behalf of Israel.
Yeah.
We could do a whole show on that alone about the history of Israel, the true history of that, and whose land that really is. But, that's pretty big in the news. Also, the Democrats are running scared, Shabaka. They don't know what they do. They think they're going to shame us in the voting blue no matter who. And it's like, nah, that's not happening. You got to produce some cash.
Right. Oh, absolutely. Okay, so therefore, you know, the Democrats are feeling it. And then Ron DePantis, you know, he's coming up there with some more of his stupid shit, you know, about his critical race theory and all of that, you know, and me personally. I think the man is ill, and any black people who support DeSantis with that shit is still the slave syndrome. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It really is. So it looks like basically it's going to be you and I in the studio tonight, Brother Che, and because we tried, you know, to get our advertisement out, but they shadow banning us, and we put the word out, but they're not giving us the exposure that we deserve. You see what I mean?
Oh, it's never because, that. Never that. They go out there with to stifle and sabotage us.
Oh, yes, sir. Yeah, most definitely. So, you know, we're still going back and forth with the management, you know, over there at Blog Talk Radio. And what it is, and another issue of the day, too, that needs to be discussed, is this bullshit-ass artificial intelligence. Now, what happens with artificial intelligence, with
it
being a fucking... Yeah.
Remember that movie? There's so many of them. You remember that movie, The Borg?
Oh, yeah. The Borg or Cyborg, okay, is because I do know there used to be a television series in the late 1980s, early 1990s, called Star Trek, The Next Generation.
Yeah.
And, and they had an episode.
They brought it back in the late 80s, early 90s,
Yeah, okay, so you had the original Star Trek, you know, during the height of the Black Empowerment era, which is the late 1960s.
Yeah.
All right, and then in the late, 20 years later, which would be in the late 1980s going into the 1990s, they had Star Trek The Next Generation, which was supposed to be about either 75 or 100 years after, you know, the original Star Trek, and then too,
has gone before. Yep.
Say that again.
The theme part of theme song was "To Boldly Go," no matter where, no man has gone before.
Yeah. And then of course, Nichelle Nichols in the original series, I believe that she was the first black female. It was either her or Diane Carroll. I forgot which. All right. But they were both contemporaries. is because I think Diane Carroll in the Julia series was the first black woman to get a starring role in a television series.
I believe you're correct.
Yeah, and keep in mind, these are some, you know, real ancient records and memories I'm pulling up, because 50 years, man, well, actually, it's more than 50 years ago.
Yeah, now, 60 years.
Yeah, you see? All right. Now, also, too, another thing, as well as we already know, about these alternative agendas. We already know about this shift that they're going to have in currencies around the world as well, too. Now, somebody's going to try to tell me that this white man by the name of Elon Musk is an African.
Yeah, he's an African-American. They would classify him as African-American because he was born in Africa and he moved to America. So he has like dual citizenship, something that the former slave not afforded. Where any of the 55 nations, there is no dual citizenship for foundational Black Americans, descendants of American chattel slavery, freedmen. There is no dual citizenship, but he has it, and they would consider him African American. And they started that shit when I was born, because a year after I was born in 88. My original birth certificate, it said black on it. It didn't say African American. It didn't say colored. It didn't say Negro. It said black.
Yeah, well, that's what's on mine. You know what I'm saying? Wait a minute. I think mine says Negro on it.
Yours,
you know, I'll double check.
Yeah. Is it a Negro or Afro-American?
Nah, I think it says Negro. On it, you know what I'm saying? Yeah, and then the
way it breaks down is every 20, 30 years or so, our classification changes.
Yeah. You see, that's interesting. That's very, very interesting. You see what I mean?
That's for a deliberate and malicious reason.
Oh, yeah, and what it is to kill our solidarity. You see what I'm saying? It's because as long as we are having debates amongst ourselves.
It's not even debates. It's delineation. We're telling the diaspora, hey, you're going to hold your own right now. We got our own emergency we're dealing with. Let us take care of us first. And then we can reciprocate it on. The problem is it's not being reciprocated. Oh, Lord, here goes Sarge. Is this you, Sarge? Sarge. Yeah, you put your hand up. That's definitely Sarge. Sarge.
Who do you want it to be?
Well, Sarge, welcome, Sarge. Okay, well, we knew that you wasn't going to miss us, Sarge. We're talking about everything tonight, okay?
Yeah.
Now,
this business. I got a question for you, Sarge. What's going on with that House Speaker, or a House Minority vote?
Well, like I said, I think some members of the Republican caucus I like the dog who got the car, and now they're trying to figure out what to do with it. But let's not forget how many votes it took from McCarthy to become Speaker of the House. He's only Jim Jordan's only lost one vote. McCarthy, I think, lost five, maybe more.
Wow.
I mean,
look,
there's no doubt. The Democrats are going to get every one of their votes will go for Hakeem Jeffries. We already know that. They already did it. They had 212 votes for Hakeem Jeffries, and the Republicans cast 200 votes for Jim Jordan. It meant 8 of their people votes for somebody else. So there's a lot more independence among Republicans. They're not like a monolith like Democrats are. So, I mean, it's just the way it is.
They apparently, they're not in love with Jim Crow Biden no more.
Oh, his support is tumbling real fast.
He got the lowest approval rate any president and his bare
wish. Who's the crumbling?
At the lowest out
okay.
of any.
Oh, well, oh.
Is crumbling.
Well, yeah, even
so
at some point.
I know that's good news for you, with you being a Trump supporter.
Well, actually, no, it isn't, actually, because I don't want the Democrats to get rid of Trump. I don't want the Democrats to get rid of Biden before the election. So I don't want him to lose too much.
He ain't going to get the nomination. Sarge, are you aware that the delegates, the black delegates, are not pulling for any of these mugs on a Democratic ticket? Or trying to get on the Democratic ticket. Now they might go after Nancy Pelosi's nephew though, the governor of California, Newsom.
Yeah, who ain't shit by the way.
Act.
Have you guys not seen the state of California? Don't you think somebody's gonna bring that to the attention of the American electorate, the state of California?
Sorry, I'm sitting right now here in my car in the state of California waiting for this raggedy-ass traffic to die down so I can hurry up and go back to Nevada.
Yeah, that's interesting now, isn't it?
Excuse the expression.
That's really interesting. You want to leave the country, with the state with the most beautiful weather in the Union, and you want to go to Nevada and bake to death.
Just say, man, I can't deal with no snow, man. And
California,
got too many raggedy highways out here. The cops out here ticket happy on that California Highway Patrol. The roads are all messed up and looking like alleys. You got all these double dumps and cement trucks out here running up and down the freaking highway. You know what I mean? Nobody has no courtesy. People are playing on horns. I mean, I'm seeing two cars chasing each other. I'm right here.
I got a question for you. Wait a minute. Before you get too far afield, I have a question I'd like to ask you.
What's that, Sarge?
All right. Now, is it accurate to call Elon Musk a South African American? Is that an accurate description? Yes,
negative. He is a
boy. That's not an accurate description. You told me he was not a citizen of South Africa?
He is a boar.
Okay. What did the South African government, when he was born there, how did they classify him? How did they classify him even as he changed his citizenship to that of the United States?
Hopefully
he was a South African citizen.
A pile of shit.
He was a South African citizen. Right, tell me something. Would it be accurate to say that Miriam Makeba was a South African citizen?
No,
South
Miriam
African.
Makeba.
If she had become
Zulu.
So she was a member of the Zulu Nation. Is that it? You're a member of the Zulu Nation.
And the Xhosa. And the reason she is of Xhosa, is why when she does the click song, Sarge, she is speaking in Xhosa.
Okay. All right.
Okay.
Does the Zulu Nation issue that it recognize anywhere in the world?
Run that by me again, sir.
Say, what passports do the Zulu Nation issue that it recognize anywhere in the world, and what ambassadors do they have with diplomatic credentials in any country in the world?
Okay, well, see, Sarge, what you have to understand is this. Zania has been colonized, okay? Like Zimbabwe at one time had been colonized. You see what I mean?
I see.
Just like the United States of America has been colonized.
So your answer is that you don't want to answer the question.
The answer is
you don't want to answer the question.
No matter what the South African government says,
we are merely stating facts.
Okay.
We do not care what the poor say, Sarge.
I think it is accurate to say he is of Boer descent, but he was a South African citizen.
He was, or he still is?
Sarge.
I don't think he has dual citizenship. Anyway, And we got to remember, countries don't recognize dual citizenship if it's not to their advantage to do so. No country does.
He's an invader. He's an invader.
All right, well, that's all rhetoric. And the fact of the matter is, he was a South African citizen. That's just a fact.
No, he's a
now,
boy,
you may, now if all I know is that when a, usually the common thread is was a, when a someone of a foreign country becomes a United States citizen, they refer to him frequently, colloquially, as an Austrian-American, as was with Arnold Schwarzenegger. They call him an Austrian-American.
Because
he was a citizen of Austria. In fact, he was a member of the Austrian Armed Forces, no less.
Yeah,
so
how
that
did
dual
he wind up becoming the governor of California?
Yeah.
Riddle me.
Yeah,
that.
Well, I'm saying, just because at one time Austria was a constituent of the Third Reich does not make them not an Austrian citizen now. He's an Austrian citizen. I was, so now he's an Austrian American, just like Elon Musk is a South African American.
Elon Musk is a boor.
He's a boor descent. He's a boor descent.
He's a boor. Period.
He's not a boor. The boor trickers, and the old Republic of South Africa don't exist anymore.
By whose standards, sir?
The Orange Free State is what it was called. It doesn't exist anymore.
Okay, by whose standards? You like that's like
everyone who recognizes what makes a country a country. The Ottoman Empire, one of the greatest empires in the world, no longer exists. Today.
Sarge.
I mean, I know
you
have this thing for nostalgic make-believe, but
hey,
I don't.
Sarge.
I like to believe what is.
Sarge, you know we are on this platform. We don't recognize no boards. We don't recognize
I'm not telling you to recognize them. I'm not telling you. You can do whatever you want.
We don't recognize them, Sarge.
I'm just saying, but if... You know, one thing about language is intended to do. It's meant to convey a common understanding. And you are simply at odds with the great majority of people in the world if you choose to believe it. Because
that's your opinion,
you can't, So that means you can't communicate with them.
Sarge, let me ask you a question, Sarge. Okay. You heard the old saying is if you keep banging your head against the wall and expecting a different result. Do you know what that is classified as, Sarge? Insanity. It's classified as insanity. Well, you head against the wall and expect
a
different result every time.
So in other words, you're going to continue to try to make people believe that Elon Musk is a boor in 2023 and
he's
he is not
boy,
a former
Sarge.
South African citizen. You got to try
no,
to make people believe that.
I don't recognize him as shit except for what he is. He is a poor. That is.
And
like
what is the problem with that?
Piece of road.
He didn't have anything to do with the Orange Free State. It was over and done with before he was even born.
Sarge. But he still benefits off of it. The minerals, the silicon, the vibranium.
Wasn't his daddy like real heavy on apartheid? Like heavy with apartheid?
Yeah, it was.
But I'm trying to understand why you place so much faith or so much emphasis on a nation that no longer exists.
Sarge, let me ask you a question. Okay.
The Transvaal and the Orange Free State don't exist anymore.
Hold it. I forgot the name of what the mountains was that they call the Transvaal Mountains that surrounds Cape Town. Okay, but you can best believe as soon as a brother from South Africa comes up here and gives us the proper enunciation of what it is, that's what I'm going to recognize it as.
Oh, we
okay,
get,
because the
people. We got to get Natunde here.
All right. Well, okay. Let's move on. Let's move on to something else here now. I mean, obviously,
okay,
we had an impact on this.
Sarge, we know the truth hurts, Sarge. The dad.
No, I'm literally telling the truth. I'm literally telling the truth. You're telling me an alternate version of facts.
Sir, what I'm saying to you is this. There was a guy who was the heavyweight champion of the world, and when that man announced that his name was Muhammad Ali, that was his name, okay?
But he has the option to do that as an individual. Every individual in the United States has that option to rename themselves.
Okay, so what does he classify himself as, Sarge?
I'm saying that every single individual adult in the United States has the option to rename themselves as they go through the process, and they get a new name. He gave it to them. Nations are not like that. That's not the case with nations.
Okay, Sarge, let me ask you a question. Okay, I'm quite sure down in a good old South, Sarge, you know, you're out there kicking with the hound dog and what have you, and out there in Georgia. And I'm sure you see a whole lot of colored folk down there with the names of Jones, Smith, Brown, Williams.
Is that what they call themselves? But that's what they call themselves, and that's what they are.
Williams, McDonald, those are the names of the raping, slave trading pedophiles that violated their bloodline. Now, Mr. Sarge,
and for whatever reason, they decided to keep them.
Okay, hold on, because the slave didn't know any better, Sarge. Okay.
Well, they're not slaves today. They can choose to change their names anything they wish.
Funny you should say that. A man named Malcolm did, and a man named Mohammed.
More power to him. What's the beef? Now you're telling about people who have chosen to keep the names of their slave, former slave masters, and then you're talking about people who have chosen to change their names. I say in both cases, people have made choices.
Okay, now, Sarge, now let me ask you this, Sarge. Now, one thing about you, Sarge, now, I don't have my books with me, man. You know, you keep a guy on his toes, Sarge, that I give you. I don't have my books with me because I'm sitting here in the vehicle right now, you know, out in the middle of the Mojave Desert, you know, getting ready to climb this mountain right here. Okay, but one thing, though, is this, Sarge. Okay, when Kwame Ture dropped the slave name, okay, he was married to a woman.
You mean Stokely Carmichael?
I never heard of him. I heard of Kwame Ture. Who?
Okay, go ahead. Go ahead.
Okay. And he was married to the young woman, you know, at that time in history, who sings our opening introductions. Now, and by the way, too, ladies and gentlemen, what you heard on our beginning track was African Sunset by the one and only Ms. Miriam Makeba. Yeah, definitely happy.
To whom we have just previously referred to.
I was mentored by Kwame Ture, and he was the founder of the Denver chapter of the original Black Panther Party for Self-Defense.
Ah.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Yep. And he was... yeah, and he was married to Sister Miriam Makeba.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You say. Now, see, Sarge, another thing, and I kind of got to watch my language, Sarge, because, you know, like I'm not exactly in a black community out here where I'm at, you know what I mean? So, you know, before I wind up, you know, becoming the next George Floyd or what have you, Rodney King, you know, things of that nature right there, you know, I'm just being mindful of my surroundings.
Yes.
Because what it is, Sarge, is that this place called the U.S. of A., okay, which was, and correct me if I'm wrong, Brother Che, Turtle Island, I believe.
Yes.
No, I'm sorry. No. Hold on, Brother Che. Aztlán is because I never forget, Brother Che. I was riding a bus in your town of Denver, Colorado, and I was speaking to this lady. And she was speaking in Spanish, and what little of Spanish I know, I learned it off the streets of Los Angeles, you know what I'm saying? So anyway, to make a long story short, we communicated, and I asked her what the original name was of the continent that's called Americano Norte. She says, Norte America? I said, yeah. She says, Aztlan, you know, is Aztlan, the name of it. So this is the continent.
Wait a minute, that's
Aztlan.
The mythical land of the Aztecs. That's in South America. It's not North America. Aztec
okay.
people never lived in North
America. Sarge.
Okay, well, Sarge, the only thing I was doing, Sarge, is unlike Joe Gibson and ass-scratching Pianki, you know, I was giving a woman her respect of her culture, you know, on her ancestral land. You see what I mean? But
yeah, but North America is not part of their ancestral land. Not even their own myths put them in North America.
Okay, what's their ancestral land, Sarge?
South America. Aztlan is the mythical land of the Aztecs.
Aztecs
never resided on the North American continent.
No, Sarge. The Aztecs originated in what is now known as Central America, Sarge, which is still technically part of the North American continent.
Well, excuse me. I'm sorry. Central America, you're correct. Not North, South America. You're right. Central America.
Okay.
So Central America and North America are two distinct geographical regions.
Mm-hmm.
What's separating them besides the Panama Canal?
The Rio Grande.
That's
no, Sarge, that's the borderline of Texas,
Sarge.
And Mexico, Sarge.
No, it's a natural boundary. It's a river, the largest river in the Southwest. It's not an imaginary made-up line by mankind.
So
it was made by nature.
So, Sarge, you're saying that Mexico is
it separates them every bit as much as the Atlantic Ocean does from Europe.
That's an obvious separation.
Sarge.
Well, yeah, but I don't understand why you would say that simply because people look at natural boundaries in the South geographical regions.
Does not separate the whole of North America from Central America, or does it? Either way, it's still North America.
No, it's North America, Central America, and South America.
That's still, so you're saying that Central America is not part of
North America. They're distinct geographical regions. The Darien Gap is the only thing that connects South America to Central America.
Okay. Sorry. Okay.
There's like a river and a jungle right there that separates them.
Okay, the Panama Canal.
What is the point? What is the point here that you guys are trying to make?
The point is,
it's
all one big ass continent. That's the point I'm trying to make. It's a super continent.
So wait a minute. So you want to call it a super continent of America? What do you want to call it then? Because it's so big.
The proper name of it, Sarge.
Antarctica is the biggest continent in the world, and it's all one contiguous region. There are no major geographical boundaries separating it other than the Arctic. The ocean.
Sarge.
One contiguous region.
Sarge.
Okay, but Sarge. Okay, the
Asia
thing
is the largest continent in Africa. I'll keep alone.
No, Africa is the largest continent. Yeah, Africa is the largest continent in the world.
I believe it's Antarctica. I don't think it's Africa.
And what's separating Asia from Africa?
And nobody lives there, but it's still Antarctica. I think Antarctica is the largest of the continent.
Is that the one with the penguins or the polar bears?
No, nothing lives there. It's too cold.
Lives there. Sarge, the penguins.
I don't know. People do.
Poles, and the polar bears, are native to the other one.
No, Sarge. That's not true, Sarge. Rumor has it. This is just a rumor, Sarge. This is something I've seriously heard about Antarctica. Sarge, are you aware that Antarctica has pyramids?
No, I'm not aware of that.
Wow. So,
if they do, then no, Antarctica is the biggest continent.
No, Sarge.
Well, it looks like one cool
Asia. Place. Or Africa. It is not Antarctica.
It's Africa.
Well, if
it's
you look at
Africa,
it depends on which map you look at. Because if you look at the Peters, that's the most accurate depiction. I think Sarge is thinking of the Mediator, what is it called? It begins with an M. Medicator app.
Okay, but I do know that Jane Elliott, you had pointed out and proved her facts, is that Africa is the largest continent in the world. It's because, you see, Western civilization has done every damn thing to marginalize and minimize Africa's endpoint.
Yeah, just for instance, saying that Antarctica is the fifth largest continent and about 40% larger than Europe.
That may be true, but I'm trying to understand what is the minimization of Africa simply by saying it's not the largest single continent. How does that factor into its significance?
Oh, because Africa is the cradle of civilization, Sarge. Like we stated before in this podcast many a times, and I will state it again, is that Ethiopian women gave the concept of feminine hygiene and bathing. The European did not know how to wash his stinky, funky, nasty
thing about that one.
Ass.
Sarge, do you know how edgy Robotnik is?
Say again?
Do you know somebody by the name of Eddie Robotnik? Like Sonic?
No. No.
Okay. Well, we had a troll in the chat.
I really kind of think, though, Asia is at least as big as Africa, if not bigger.
What is separating
No, Sarge.
Sarge, what is separating
No, Sarge.
Us?
It's
what
not. It's not.
What separates what?
It's not.
What separates Africa from Asia?
The Middle East.
What is the Middle East? Where is Middle
the
West?
Middle East.
Where's Middle West? Where's Middle North? And where's,
now,
middle,
where's
south?
Middle South? Damn good question, Brother Jay. All right, Sarge. You took two of them now, Sarge.
Okay.
All right, you took two of them, Sarge. We're about to minister a standing eight in a minute.
All right. But I'm still trying to understand why an African continent's size dictates its significance.
The
significance of Africa, Sarge, is the cradle of civilization.
30 million.
Okay.
It's over 30 million.
Okay. Also, too, Sarge, even Europeans have stated that it's the cradle of civilization.
It covers
the sad part about it, is, Sarge.
Well, would it have to be? Would it have to be large to be the cradle of? I mean, babies aren't very big, and if it's the cradle of civilization, it doesn't have to be very big to hold a baby.
Sarge, Africa doesn't move. Sarge.
I'm just saying, if you say it, I always thought that the cradle of civilization was the Euphrates Valley, and again, in the Middle East.
That's not the Middle East. Middle East is a made-up term, Sarge. That didn't come around until the Suez Canal was put in place. Prior to that, there was no Middle East. But there was no Middle West. But there was no Middle North. But there was no Middle South.
So you're saying that the Red Sea, the Mediterranean Sea, and the Persian Gulf are not significant geographical barriers to the rest of Africa?
No, because it's still connected.
I mean, the reason they are separated geographically is because they got these major, obstacles to movement across those regions.
Mm-hmm.
You got the Persian Gulf, the Arabian Sea, the Red Sea, and the Mediterranean Sea, and that kind of separates the Middle East from Africa.
Okay, let me ask you another question, Sarge. Do you think Europe is a continent?
Well, that's what the cartographers say.
It's not.
Yes, I think it's a continent. I think it's one of the smaller ones, but it's definitely big enough to be a continent. It's bigger, slightly larger than Australia. That's a continent.
Yeah,
Australia is a continent.
Yeah, Australia is a continent.
And it's
an
island.
It's a big-ass island.
Okay.
So let me go.
Now.
And what
okay,
possibly,
now.
What
it
is
what's
is that?
State?
What quantifies a continent?
It's land mass, it's area, and I think and barriers to routine navigation.
Okay, so when you look at Europe on a map, it looks like a big ass peninsula of Asia. It does not look like a continent. When you look at Asia, you're like, okay, yeah, that's a continent.
Well, you know what separates Asia from Europe is the Ural Mountains. So that's why, I mean, it's certainly big enough on its own to be considered a continent. I mean, it's a large land mass. And then you've got, you know, like I said, it's slightly larger than Australia, I believe, by total square miles. And Australia is a continent.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's the world.
I mean, a continent doesn't have to be the biggest to be a continent.
But Sarge.
No,
Sarge.
What it is,
as you know,
I'm doing it now, Sarge. It don't look like
okay,
a
that we deal with the black experience.
Asia.
And we shatter all lies and theories, okay, of where the whole world thinks that we're supposed to be ashamed of our African heritage, but we the original man. You see what I'm saying? And at the time, Sarge, that we were building the Hermocket, I'm referred to as the Sphinx, as when we was building the Ten Hens, commonly referred to as the obelisk, the European Sarge was living in caves, crawling on all fours, eating raw meat. He didn't know how to wash his ass.
Nope.
Okay.
Now, Sarge, on basic hygiene, who would you much rather listen to, a scholarly man or a man who does not know how to wash his ass?
I think it is safe to say that in the 21st century, among the cleanest societies in the world are those in Europe and North America. Among them. I mean, sanitation facilities are highly developed mostly everywhere you go in those regions. And if you go elsewhere in the world, you will see they are not as highly developed.
In France.
Sarge.
Are you serious, Sarge?
Sarge.
Like, some of the biggest slums are in Europe. Like, Europe is not what you're trying to make
okay.
out of. We're just straight up wasteful.
All right.
The only reason why there's any riches or any kind of notoriety is because of the slave trade.
If I go everywhere in Nigeria, there's running water and sewers and aqueducts everywhere I look. Is that good?
In Nigeria?
I would say that everywhere I go. Yeah, Nigeria, God, or the Congo.
Congo? No. Nigeria?
I didn't think so. And there's lots of other places, too.
But Sarge.
I mean, I'm trying to understand, though. One thing I've always been told. Sarge, you're not supposed to dwell in the past. The present, while of course, you know me and being a history of story and all, I understand the importance of the past, but you're not supposed to dwell in it.
I've heard the phrase, your past is the best indication of your future.
Your concept of Sankofa, you're right.
Tell me something.
The concept of Sankofa. Going back to tradition is the first step forward, Sarge.
Okay.
So you want to dwell there?
Now,
even Martin Luther King.
One thing I will always respect about Martin Luther King is
that he was a man who recognized his mistake.
Okay.
As Dr. King stated, Sarge, and this is a direct quote, he is afraid that he led our people into a burning house with integration. And he did. And he did. And he did. I mean, how the hell am I going to sit up here and call a nasty-ass bore advanced? I can't hear you, Sarge.
Look, it's not up to me to tell you what to call Elon Musk. You can call him anything you want to. I'm simply saying that anybody who knows anything, most people who know about the man's history and his origins are going to call him a South African American citizen.
No, I call him a boar.
Well, like I said, you can call him whatever you want. You can call him Daffy Duck. That doesn't make it so.
Sarge, he's a boar. He's not an African.
Yes, he is a boar. He's
white, Sarge.
He's a boar descent. He is from Africa, just as Arnold Schwarzenegger was from Europe.
No.
Yes,
he
is.
He's not, Sarge. He
okay,
is a boar.
Okay, Is Idris Elba from Great Britain, yes or no?
No.
He's a European.
No, he's not.
Yes,
he is.
Just
looking at it.
He speaks with a British accent, and he was born in Great Britain.
Sir, the country is where he's from was a colony of
It's
England.
A region, sir, not a race.
Sir.
It's a region.
Idris Elba.
See, around the world, there are three major anthropological groupings of man: Caucasoid, Negroid, and Mongoloid. Those are races.
Sarge.
What you're talking about are regions.
Sarge, the man is of African.
That's why they're
descent.
Not accurate
Period.
To describe race.
Sarge, we don't care about raping, slave trading, pedophile.
I didn't say you had to.
We put
I didn't say you had to.
Look,
I didn't say you had to.
Were both of his parents?
But if you want to make an attempt at cursory racial descriptions, you have to use one of the subgenuses of anthropological designation. Again, Caucasoid, Negroid, Mongoloid. That's the three.
No.
Those are
no
regions.
Sarge, a Carolinian, okay? And then there's a couple of other terms. You see, because these Sarge, the thing is you have to understand. I pay very, very
Nilotic.
Value on...
Ethiopia is a region. Nilotic is the racial subspecies of Negroid peoples that settled and lived there. So Nilotic would be a more accurate description of the specific type of Negroid people who live in Ethiopia.
Sarge, the whole continent, just like the Atlantic Ocean at one time, were both known as Ethiopia.
They're just describing regions, not race.
Okay, but Sarge, have you ever looked at Ethiopian women, Sarge?
Oh, I love to look at Ethiopian women. They're magnificent.
Yeah, they're hypnotically beautiful, aren't they, Sarge?
Yeah.
I say again, I love to look at Ethiopian women. They are magnificent.
And you know what a sister from Ethiopia told me where their beauty is from? It is the blessings of the Creator.
Well, why are you saying the things to me that we're not arguing about? What are we differing in here?
Okay,
I think we're differing in what constitutes a racial designation as opposed to a regional one. That is, I think, what our differences are.
You're thinking of sovereignty, sir.
Not thinking about literally geography. Literally.
Okay, Sarge. Okay. We're going to get to your man... the dump in a minute. okay, because I know you love the dump, okay. I hope his ass goes to prison for the rest of his natural damn life. And then
you and all the Democrats out there.
Okay, Sarge, later for the Democrats. Okay, anytime that you got a black mayor of a major city like Chicago and where migrants go attack a young black girl and damn near cut her face off, and this brain-dead, ass-scratching Negro is sitting up there with his thumb up his ass talking about, oh, well, you know, all migrants ain't bad and all that. Well, he should have been on the phone getting some of his contacts and say to go handle that for that little baby.
He's got a police department. Isn't he in charge of a police department?
Sarge, the Chicago Police Department, man, is thugs with badges. No, I take that back. That's the LAPD.
One thing I know about Chicago police officers, I don't care what it is, they are eager, they used to be at least, eager to solve cases where people have their faces cut off.
Okay.
I know. They may not be the most enlightened people on the planet, but when it comes to crimes like that, they are eager to solve them.
Did Van Dyke do it? Did Van Dyke
Laquan McDonald.
Kill?
And that case was solved too, didn't he? He went to jail.
No.
He was charged, prosecuted, and he was in prison.
His ass to be right down there in Joliet, Sarge, facing the damn death penalty.
Manslaughter does not carry a death penalty.
It wasn't manslaughter, Sarge. That was intentional murder.
The justice didn't agree with you.
9mm, Sarge, which is 16 rounds down and one up, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
so that's 16
like that.
Rounds. Okay. This asshole Van Dyke, you know what I'm saying, who's another damn boor. Okay, that's Dutch, right? Yeah, a boor.
Yeah, Dutch.
All right. Went there and murdered this man.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? And after he was on the ground dead, he kept shooting at him, man. That's overkill. Just like Sarge, when I was in Los Angeles last year. I was right there on the corner of Hollywood Boulevard and Highland Avenue, Sarge, which is about a block and a half from the Chinese Theater. The LAPD put 10 bullets in this man's head because he had pulled the knife. That's overkill, Sarge. Black with Van Dyke.
What if the first bullet killed him? The other 9 don't matter, do they?
Yes, they matter, Sarge.
Wow.
It's like
this here. Whether one shot or 10, one shot's got to be justified. If it ain't justified, then yes, it's illegal.
Okay. Well, based on that there, Sarge, that them two cops that murdered Eula Love in the late 1970s in L.A., their asses should still be up there in San Quentin on death row.
Well, wait a minute. I don't know anything about that case, so you're going to have to tell me about what happened.
Hey, do you have access, Brother Chase, to pull up the Eula Love story? It's 1978 or 79.
Eula Love, yeah. I've heard of it, but I remember the details. Yeah, I've heard of it.
Yeah, I remember the day it happened, Sarge. You know, I was up there going to school. At that time, I was...
Wasn't she a mentally ill woman?
What had happened, Sarge, I'm going to refresh you again with the case. Eula Love was living out there in South Central Los Angeles. The Southern California Gas Company came over there to turn off her gas, meaning that she could not cook food for her children, meaning she could not have hot water for her children to properly bathe. And Eula Love had stated that if that there happens, the state of California, as sure as shit stinks, will slap her ass with a child neglect suit, which they will. The gas man comes out there. She pleads with him, hey, man, don't turn off my gas. Gas man says he's doing his job and proceeds to turn the woman's gas line off. Okay. So what she does, she takes a shovel and she boxes his ass upside the dome. Okay, so she dumped him with the shovel. She had already told this bastard that don't turn off the fucking water because she's a woman with children. The lap dogs get the call. Okay. So, according to your boy, Daryl Gates, who, and may he rest in peace, okay, he states the LAPD officers exhibited something called rapid fire syndrome. When they got to busting the clip, okay, they probably got their jollies off or probably got some weird fetish satisfied by killing this woman. And the sad part about it is that one of those bastards was black. See? One of them was black. All right. So, they were not charged. You know what I'm saying? And the thing is, Sarge, is that this country always wants black people to be subservient to white folk.
Mm-hmm.
Straight out. That's all they want from us. It's total subservient. And to any, to quote Brother Che, that any caucusoid who is in earshot, okay, come out here to Nevada. All right. Well, actually, I'm still in California, shit. Well, come out here to this great Mojave Desert in the middle of July, okay, and we'll sit down, have some refreshments, but you got to leave your sunscreen at home, and in about 30 minutes, I'll approve to you of how we are not all right. I ain't never had sunburn before in my life. I don't know what it is.
I had it once.
But I'm not going to leave the person out there with sunburn. But
right.
He's going to have to give me some instructions of how to deal with it.
Yeah.
Okay? Now, keep in mind that the same Caucasian will have my black ass up there in the middle of Minnesota, or I know some even more colder than that. Let's try Denver, Colorado. Okay.
Yeah.
Like around January. Okay. Yeah, January in Denver, Colorado. You know, you get up to about 15 degrees below zero there, Sarge. You know what I mean? And you could best believe that ain't nobody white is going to save my black ass from freezing to death up there. Is that a safe bet, Brother Che?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. Now, the dump, as in human shit, and I want to make that perfectly clear. Okay. Sarge, your boy had some issues, man. He really do, man, because I was reading on him, man. Oh, man. I think what they need to do when you get elected president, that you got to take some type of competency hearing. You know what I mean?
You mean one that might show you might have a record that you might be able to compensate comparable to the record that Donald Trump had when he left office? And I might go along with that.
Okay. Well, he was the worst.
You know something? I would do anything to go back for a record like Donald Trump's. Middle 2 years of his presidency, I would love to have any president capable of amassing a record like that. Anything. I mean, because I think it's one of the finest records for most of the American people of any president in living memory.
And like I said,
I don't need to narrate. All I got to do is speak to you the objective metrics that indicate that to be so.
The metric based on who says.
Based upon how much money you got in your pocket, how easy it is for you to find a job, you know, how secure your borders are. You know how much taxes you gotta pay. I'll go by those metrics any day of the week.
The one Sarge.
Any day of the week.
Sarge. Okay. Biden, man, you know.
On that,
yeah, Biden, you know, he has issues.
Don't see any policies that directly harm black people either.
Okay, let's see here. Now, I'm
you mean like the First Step Act? Oh, that really hurt a lot of black people, that First Step Act, getting them Pell Grants, getting their records expunged, getting their sentences communicated and clemency. That really hurt the hell out of black people. Yes, sir.
Okay, well, why the hell didn't the bastard expunge my record? Now, light me on that.
Because you were probably convicted on state crimes over which he has zero jurisdiction. You got to take that up with your governor, Gruesome Newsom.
Man, to hell with the governor of this raggedy-ass state I'm about to leave. His ass.
Well, Shibaga, you asked me why Trump didn't pardon you, and I'm telling you, because he's not a dictator, unlike people who try to accuse him of being. He cannot declare you innocent of a crime over which the President of the United States has no jurisdiction whatsoever. A state crime.
Uh-huh. Okay, so then that means I have to check with this raggedy-ass governor of California.
Well, y'all elected him. Well, I didn't. If I had my way, he would not be the governor. He would not be the governor of California if I had anything to do with it.
Sarge, can I tell you something?
Sarge.
Do you know, Sarge?
I got a quick question.
I have not voted with
Garrett Gay-Ass Polis be governor of Colorado?
Sarge.
Wait a minute. What's that about the governor of California? About Colorado?
He belongs in jail. The governor of California belongs in jail.
You're getting an argument from me.
Okay.
I was talking about the governor of Colorado, Sarge. Gay-ass governor of Colorado, Polis.
Wait a minute. Is he the one that's got issues there, Brother Che?
Yeah, he's a gay governor, and he's a billionaire.
Oh, wow. That's sad news. Now, I got my speed here at 60 miles an hour. The damn cruise control decides to work. Wait a minute here. Speed in California doing 63 miles an hour.
Yeah.
Let's see here.
I think the speed limit's still 80.
All right, hold on, Sarge. I'll get back with you in a minute. I'm just trying to make sure I'm not going through no damn ticket trap right here.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, now, Sarge, Donald Trump belongs in jail.
Uh-oh.
Now, after he gets out of jail, they need to take his ass up there to the wine country of California and lock him up in a place called the Napa State Hospital for the criminally insane. Now, let me tell you folks of how California is going to do your insanity, please. Okay, you go out here, pull some stuff, go before the court, oh, I'm insane. Okay, the judge is going to say, we're going to take your crazy ass, and we're sending you up there to the Napa Valley, to Napa State Mental Hospital. Okay, so what they're going to do is that they're going to declare you sane, and then they're going to haul your ass right back on a green goose to L.A. County to go before those kangaroo courts. Well, now you're convicted because you're not insane no more. You're cured. And then your ass is hauled off to either Folsom, San Quentin,
yep,
Soledad, Pelican Bay.
Yep.
You know what I mean? Susanville.
Yep.
You know what I'm saying, Sarge? So California's got some very, very whack-ass politics, whack-ass politicians, and then when the governor signs a executive order that states that the sex of a baby that is born does not have to go on the birth certificate?
You just put an X.
What is that?
The agenda.
I can't hear you, Sarge.
Okay, I was having a bit of phone trouble, so I didn't hear the question. Would you ask the question again, please?
Yes, sir. Okay. Here in the state of California, okay, you go kick somebody off the planet. Okay, they haul your ass down there from the Twin Towers into the L.A. County Court building, and you state that I plead insanity. So guess what they're going to do, Sarge? What they're going to do is that they're going to haul your ass up there to the Napa Valley, you know where your Boone's Farm is, your wine. They got a nut house there called Napa Valley Mental Hospital. They're going to put you in there, Sarge, for about, oh, 3-4 weeks. Then they're going to have one of them quack doctors get up there and certify you as being sane. So then guess what happens, Sarge? Then your ass gets hauled back to the L.A. County Courthouse, okay? And they're going to say you're sane. And when you went out here and did these gruesome crimes, you are no longer insane. You're gone for life. Yeah. That's how they do things there in the great state of California, Sarge.
But well, y'all need a complete overhaul of everything in that state anyway. I don't know why y'all don't get busy with it some kind of way.
Oh, I'll tell you why, Sarge. It's because you get these damn Reaganites who are left over that want to raise the cost of everything, of housing, food, automobiles.
Rent control does that. Rent control has been shown to raise the price housing. It doesn't minimize it.
No, what rent control does, Sarge, is this. Now, here's this lying-ass sign saying I'm doing 65 and I'm doing 54. You see what I'm saying? This is the kind of shit that I'm talking about, people, in this toilet-ass state. Oh, boy, the treachery. Where's the justice?
I don't know why y'all stay in that place, man. The weather can't be that good.
What I'm doing, Sarge, is I'm getting the hell up out of here, and I'm headed to Nevada, okay? I no longer reside in this raggedy-ass, high-priced, gasoline-guzzling-ass state. Because the current vice president that you have, it was perhaps one of the worst of goddamn senators that this damn state ever had.
Okay. Well, you know, you do know, by the way, the Supreme Court's getting ready to probably axe New York rent control. And that does, that means throughout the United States, they're going to have to bring it to an end or modify it severely.
Okay. Well, Sarge, here's what you do. All right, here's what the U.S. government needs to do. They need to go to the dump as in human shit, and I want to make that perfectly clear. And take all this money from them, go up there to Nancy Pelosi's vineyards, seize all the money off of that, go get that ragged-ass place she's got up there in Pacific Heights, mortgage that damn place off, and give it all to the unhoused. And then go to that boar, Musk, seize all his assets, okay? Next stop, Menlo Park, Zuckerberg, okay? And might as well, you know, get in the pockets of the dudes over there at Google and YouTube as well, too, okay? And give it to the homeless, okay?
Because but you do know what they've been doing with – go ahead.
Okay, a dude – with $500 billion, cannot spend that in 10 lifetimes. And I'm talking about Gates, okay? All right? Your boy Bill Gates, who wants to vaccine everybody, put microchips in them, control their thoughts. You see what I mean? But how come he ain't taking the vaccine?
Well, how do you know he hasn't?
Because he said he wasn't taking it.
Well, I mean, he doesn't manufacture it or distribute it.
Okay, well, I'm sure he's got his paws in there, some ill-gotten guy away, like Pfizer.
Might.
And what
but, you know, like, you know, don't, like the what do they say? Don't get high on your own supply.
Okay, now we've heard everything, folks. Boy, it finally got cool out here. Shit. It's a nice, pleasant 75 degrees. All right.
Oh, yeah, that's lovely.
Now, okay. Now, these guys, Bezos, Space Cowboy with Verizon, other dude, what's his name? It's 3D Tricks. Who is it, Brother Che?
Bill Gates.
Bezos.
Yeah,
to play Space Cowboy, you know, and they try to go up there and colonize another planet. See, now this is one thing about Caucasians, is that they plan their shit long term.
Yeah.
You see what I'm saying? Okay, just like when you had the raping, slave trading pedophile, who were your president? Okay, they plan their shit for long term, okay? And that's why they can take the whole lineage of an African family and designate it as property. Understand? Like, now let's look at little Damian Thomas, who was proud to wear the name of the raping, slave trading pedophile. I feel sorry for that brother.
Yeah.
I feel sorry for him. It's because that level of self-hate is so dwells in him, he does not even realize his hatred of self. Now, Charles, you had stated a while back, if it wasn't for the rape and slave trading pedophile, that you would not be in existence, sir?
All right, I'm going to state a scientific fact. As a scientific fact, that is true. Every single member in your direct ancestral line, no matter how they got there, if you eliminate any one of them, you do not exist today. That is a fact. It's just the way it is, whether you are like it or not.
Sir, it's not. Sorry.
Okay, tell me how it could be done another way scientifically, not metaphysically. Don't give me anything about metaphysics or the spirit. I want to talk about genes, okay, genetics. How can it be done another way?
Okay, sorry. Okay, have you ever studied...
Just tell me. I'd like to know.
Yeah,
maybe something I don't know.
Okay, sorry. Study some African spirituality. And it will be in there. You'll find your answer there. And as a matter of fact...
Okay, so my spirit would have come down in another form some other way, right?
Okay.
You would have occupied another vessel.
Okay, one moment, Sarge. Brother Che. Our girl Bianca is not available right now, is she?
Since this is a theory that is certainly not proved scientifically, can we at least admit this? The corporeal form, the physical form in the vessel in which your spirit will be occupying would not exist today were it not for all the ancestors in your direct ancestral line. Can we agree on that?
Negative.
Okay, we can't agree on that either. All right, so tell me how it can happen another way. I'd like to hear this.
I might even
go along with the spiritual stuff, because after all, there are things that I don't understand that could be. Who knows? But I don't think there's no doubt about the physical form you occupy, the gender you have, the very fact that you're a man and not a woman, or a woman and not a man, is literally determined by your ancestors' genetics.
God. Let me ask you a question.
Especially your male ones, especially your male ones, because the males carry the sex differentiation gene.
Yep.
Okay, Sarge. Okay. All right, when our women were being violated by the raping, slave trading pedophiles, because of what
a crime, no doubt. That
okay.
is a crime, I will grant you.
Okay, but you see, but they were never held accountable for it, Sarge. They were never held accountable. Them bastards were never hauled into a court of law that you love to espouse about to be charged with rape of a minor. Understand?
Okay. If I am the child of a rapist, let's say, and many women have decided to carry their children to term, even though they were raped. You know that. Many, if not most.
Ahead,
so does that not mean that that person, that criminal rapist that is my father, do I literally not know owe my existence to him or not?
Being a man, Sarge, don't no man owe no rapist shit.
Okay,
rapist,
so you're saying no. All right, I just
okay,
want your
Sarge,
answer. Okay,
Sarge,
you can't let your resentments and your hatred deny physical reality and fact. And
okay,
you just did.
Hatred,
you just did.
You're talking about
I mean, I've heard stories of people who are the children of rapists. And they speak how much they hate their father. They hate him because he raped their mother. And at the same time, one of the reasons they hate their father so much is because they know, and I remember this one story the guy was saying it deep down. So one reason I hate that man so much is because not only did he rape my mother, but I owe my existence to him. And I can't reconcile the two.
Sarge, that sounds like one confused individual.
None
right.
of them felt like to be an individual. It's understandable. It's understandable. You see,
well,
when you're rational and you acknowledge two basic truths. One, the man committed a heinous crime against your mother. Number two, as a matter of fact and scientific truth, you would not exist to the exist in this life today were not for your father raping your mother. Now, acknowledging those two truths, thus I can understand why it would cause turmoil in any person.
Sorry.
The key is being able to reconcile it, because nothing you can do is going to change the truth of both things. That's what a paradox is.
Sorry. The point that what I'm making is that these were products of hatred that these racist, slave trading pedophiles did. And then, of course, you know what the opposite happened when we discussed the motion picture Mandingo. Oh, and by the way, folks, we got some good numbers off of that one.
Yeah,
so
we did.
So please go to the playback of that one right there. Now,
I dug up my DVDs and I'm going to watch them again. I got Mandingo and Drum. I dug them up out of my library, and I'm going to look at them again to refresh my memory.
Okay, Star.
Yeah, I'm looking at Warren Oates, Isella Vega, Ken Norton, Drum. The white men wanted a stud to breed slaves. The white women wanted much more. Ooh. The year is 1860.
Okay,
the town is New Orleans. A handsome brothel slave named Drum Ken Norton is bought by the scheming plantation owner Hammond Maxwell Warren Oates for the sole purpose of siring beautiful slave children. Maxwell will then sell the children for up to $3 each in the market, but others have designs on the attractive, powerful slave too, and many of them are women. Whoa! Ah! And Mandingo is similar to that.
Okay, Sarge, let me explain something to you. I've traveled through the state of Louisiana, Sarge, and I'll never do it again.
Well, I like Louisiana.
Okay. I don't like the South, Sarge, okay, because of what it represents. And each time I hear that song by Billie Holiday of the Strange Fruit. Now, tell me this here, Sarge, and nobody's yet to give me an answer because, you know, that's why I quit your boy Bianchi. I don't even recognize him no more. Okay, but as the heavyweight champion said in 1974, why did these white men cut off the private parts of black men?
In 1974?
Yeah, the heavyweight champion stated in 1974, and this is a direct quote, no, we are not brothers. Brothers don't hang brothers and cut off their private parts and put it in their mouth. Riddle me that one, Sarge.
Maybe for the same reasons that all the Muslim slave traders created a whole class of people called eunuchs. You ever stop to think about that? Maybe the same reason.
No. Answer me my question, Sarge. I asked you a direct question, sir. And I'm requesting a direct answer to the direct question that that preceded our last two sentences.
Throughout the history of mankind, castration is often saw form a specific social function. I would imagine in the case of these barbarians who did something like that is to show their superiority over them, as did the Watusi, who once had as a ceremonial shield symbol the testicles of a Hutu under the spears, cross spears of a Watusi lord. I guess it's kind of the same thing to show your dominance over them.
No, actually, Sarge, if you're talking about male circumcision on a continent, Sarge, that was a right of
passage. Wait a minute, circumcision is not castration. I was circumcised. My unit works superbly. It isn't the same thing.
Okay, but Sarge.
Please, let's not even try to make that comparison.
Okay, Sarge. The point is that the majority of white America does not want to come face to face with its horrible past. And fuck the governor of Florida. I hope it makes him feel very uncomfortable because he ain't never got to worry about me spending another dime in that raggedy-ass state.
Well, I'm telling you, now, I don't care. I don't care who is made uncomfortable by an accurate retelling of history, as long as it is accurate. So it doesn't bother me that people are discomforted by people telling the history right.
Sarge, let me ask you a question, Sarge. Have you ever saw the movie Goodbye, Uncle Tom?
No.
Oh,
okay, Brother
Terry,
will you please relate Goodbye, Uncle Tom? I'm in the process of watching it, Sarge. And after the first 15 fucking minutes, I had to turn it off to get my sanity back, okay? And
yeah.
I am going to complete watching it. But have you ever saw the film?
I did order it on DVD. I ordered it on DVD, and I haven't gotten around to watching it yet, but I will.
It is the most accurate of the American antebellum slave trade. Recorded history.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, Sarge.
Yeah.
And this is the history that white America does not want to come face to face with. But me, I don't give a fuck how they feel about it.
Right.
I hope it pisses them off. I hope it that they feel bad about themselves. That was some barbaric shit. And keep in mind of what they did, Sarge. We were building pyramids, and they did not know how to wash their funky asses.
Yep.
Now,
no, not
that
again.
Make you feel, Sarge, I know that makes you feel uncomfortable. That's why I
It doesn't make me feel uncomfortable at all. It's a total distortion when you say that. It makes me feel uncomfortable.
The truth is the truth.
And I have to know that's an absolute distortion of fact.
house.
Yes, there were people. Yes, there were white people and Europeans who were unclean. And there were also people, white people and Europeans who were absolutely hygienic. Depends on where you're talking about and when.
No, sir.
Like
they didn't learn hygienics until they went to Kemet.
Yep.
Okay.
Oh, no, stop it.
They had
to show
them Kemet to learn how to wash their fucking
asses. Oh, stop it. Oh, please.
Sarge, I know these facts.
I know this is a staple for you and all that, but come on.
Sarge, but.
They had to go there and learn how to cook their food, too? They didn't know how to cook their food either, eh?
No,
Sarge, they
didn't.
They ate everything raw. They had to go to Kemet. They had to go all the way from the caves of Neander and go to Africa to study at the University of Cairo. Is that it?
The caves
no,
of
Sarge. It's the, University of St. Croix.
Yeah.
It's the University of St. Croix.
And somehow, how did they manage this tremendous speed of going all the way from Neander to the university?
How did you go all the way from what to what?
Oh, yeah. How did they manage that travel distance?
Okay. Timbuktu, Sarge, is in Mali, which is West
Africa.
Yeah,
it's in Africa. Yeah, it's West Africa.
West Africa. Uh-huh.
And so you mean by the time they had the technology to create vast vessels that could navigate vast distances across storm-tossed deep blue seas, they hadn't figured out yet the benefits of bathing? Really?
Sarge,
the Europeans didn't know the benefit of bathing. The Europeans thought it was a sin against their gods.
But they knew how to build sailing craft that could traverse the oceans. They could build these hulls. They could build ships that could carry tons of cargo at fairly high speeds given prevailing winds. And yet still they hadn't figured out anything about bathing yet.
Nope.
No, Sarge. It was Africans that showed the Europeans of how to wash their nasty, stinking, funky,
What is your point of all of this? To show that Caucasians are inferior or what? They're capable of learning, perhaps, because eventually they figured it out then, with or without African help.
Figured it out. Sarge,
they
figured
it out.
I mean, you live with white people, right? Still to this day.
I don't live with white people. I live pretty much by myself. That's what I like about where I live. I don't have to hang out with nobody if I don't want to.
Sarge,
I'm so glad I left Chicago. You got no idea. I am so happy to be out of Chicago in a place of peace and quiet and calm.
Well, Sarge, I'm not mad at you. I'm a little familiar with Chicago. As a matter of fact, I'm getting ready to go down to historic Route 66 from Chicago to L.A. Get your kicks on Route 66, But what it is, though, Sarge, is that when it comes to people of African descent, okay, commonly referred to as black people here in the United States, we have contributed so much to this goddamn country, labor-wise, intellectual-wise, scholastically. You see what I mean?
Military.
And any white person who gets upset about reparations is sick. And any white person who says they are not for reparations is a racist white supremacist. The panties. Like the dump, as in human shit. And I want to make that perfectly clear. Okay. Okay, look at Joe Gibson. Okay.
Joe Gibson
don't like black
folks.
But yeah, Joe Gibson too. He's a
better
anchorman.
Yeah. Well, I'm not upset about reparations. I just make rational arguments against it. Doesn't upset me.
Sarge, we built the goddamn country, Sarge.
Right.
And that first
and that's not true
that
either.
Made,
who built it?
Yes,
that's
it is
not true either. No, it isn't.
It is, Sarge.
No, it isn't.
Yes, it is, Sarge.
I mean, see, you guys have adopted that argument that the slave owners made, that cotton is king. They made that argument in the 19th century to try to intimidate the Union against pushing against slavery. They said that without the cotton slave trade, the slave-fueled cotton industry, the economy of the United States would collapse, and you guys have bought into it whole hook, line, and sinker. It wasn't
Sarge.
True then. It's not true now.
Sarge.
Sarge.
Wasn't cotton a cash crop?
Yes,
cotton
it
was. Cotton
was
a commodity, so it could be traded for cash or other goods, like any commodity.
So it was a cash
okay,
crop.
Okay, now, Sarge.
It could be a cash crop. It could also be like pork belly.
Okay, but Sarge, but just like where you used to pass Johnson Publications down there on South Michigan Avenue in Chicago, Lerone Bennett, you know, had done extensive research, Sarge, and a very, very renowned journalist and scholar. See, Sarge, that's who I get my information from. Okay?
Okay.
I go to the source. And raping slave trading pedophiles like Thomas Jefferson, George Washington, Andrew Johnson, you know what I'm saying? And it's very, very incredible of how these white men hate black people so much, but yet, though, they want to go have sex with black women.
Yeah.
Well, you were hopping around with all these subjects
Sarge.
Here, ain't you?
Okay, well, hold on, Sarge.
Okay.
Hold it, Sarge. Okay. Just like how we talked about Mandingo, right? You know, how
yeah,
many times
yeah.
the white girls tell a brother, if you don't do it to me, I'm going to tell you, tell the police or the slave master.
Well, actually, I don't know. Why don't you give me a rough idea of how often it occurred?
Well, let's look at your girl, Carolyn Bryant. Okay.
Well, she didn't want to have sex with Emmett Till.
Okay, well, she lied on Emmett Till and said that he had whistled at her. Now, with her sick reasoning, she just saw a black guy from Chicago who was not from Mississippi in 1954 and probably heard about Chi-Town with all his hustlers, pimps, numbers runners, gangsters, thugs, speakeasies,
yep.
Curtis Mayfield and the Impressions, the Caprini Green, Robert Taylor Holmes, Ida B. Wells. You know what I mean, Sarge?
Yep.
And she probably had this fantasy. She probably had this fantasy. You know, I just want to, with her being a white woman, just want to see her brother get killed. And then why is it that at the monument of where Emmett Till was killed at, you know, that the good old boys shoot it up, just like what they do up there in Chicago at Fred Hampton's tomb, where they go up there and shoot it up? Why they do that, Sarge?
Well, you know, people have a tendency to get form these wild mischaracterizations of people. After all, look at all the black men, as you point out, got into trouble with their pursuit of white women.
Oh, my God.
Well, Sarge, let me explain something to you. It wasn't the white black men pursuing the white women. It was the white women pursuing the
I think
black
it was a mutually assured project.
Mutually assured.
It wasn't just one. It didn't go just one way. No,
mutually
it didn't. I'm sorry. It didn't just
Sarge.
Go one way. No, it didn't.
No, Sarge.
No.
Why is it when I was up there in the city of Oakland and I'm looking at all those jiggly wiggly behinds and jugs of them Ethiopian beauties, why would I pass that up? Okay, to go get something that is flat as an ironing board, okay, and got hair looking like an Afghan.
Again, stereotypes, misconceptions, and fantasies a rice amongst all people when it comes to something like this.
Having studied the issue myself,
I think that there aren't that many exceptions to the rule.
Okay, it's like this right here, Sarge. A young Ethiopian woman.
Grass is greener on the other side of the fence just because it's on the other side of the fence. That's
right. Sarge, I asked this young woman, I says, why are the women so beautiful from Ethiopia? And she says, it is the blessing from God.
Okay. Again, it's not something we have in dispute. There are certainly many beautiful black women.
Okay, besides, there is a whole lot.
But I hate to differ with you, but they're not the only beautiful black, the only beautiful women in the world. There are many beautiful women around the world in all places. Admittedly, the only continent I have not been to is Africa and Antarctica. Those are the only two I haven't been on. So I got to admit, I still got to get to Africa so I make a decision on it. But on every one of them other continents I've been to, I've seen women every bit as magnificent.
Okay, Sarge. Okay.
Trust me on that. Trust me. It's
okay,
true.
Sarge, let me tell you something. I was in Oakland, California. Get me a cup of coffee, and no, I was not sitting at a lunch counter begging for it either. East African beauty came in there, and I said, wow, you sure are beautiful. You from Ethiopia. She had cussed me out vehemently and informed me that she was from Eritrea. Okay.
See, they don't like to say you're Ethiopian and they're Eritrean or Somalian, do they?
Okay, Sarge.
See, that's what I've got to tell you, man. You can't lump them all in one big basket.
Okay,
and Sarge, we get lumped into one big basket, though. We all get put into the same big-ass nigga basket.
Exactly.
And we're delineating now.
I don't know. Did I ever tell you about this woman from Haiti I had this relationship with?
A woman from Haiti?
Yeah. I had a really, really intense relationship with a woman from Haiti. And, man, it was one of the wildest, most volatile, dangerous, and insane relationships I ever had in my life. That woman was a bloody lunatic.
Was she a bruja?
But it was intense.
Sarge, let me tell you something about Haiti.
And she was more or less from an elite class of Haitian women. She was light skinned, and you know how they got with that skin differentiation over there in Haiti.
Colorism, Sarge.
Yeah, that's exactly right. That was another thing that made us so damn crazy. That was another thing that made us so crazy.
Nothing more than self hate. No, but what had happened was in Haiti, Sister Bianca hit me to this one here, though, Brother Che. Is that when the Haitian Revolution happened, they didn't sing, "We shall overcome." No, they called upon their ancestors in the spirit form, probably through one of the hurricanes. That says, "No, the way we're gonna get our freedom is we're gonna have to kick these clowns off the planet." Yes, sir.
Yeah, well, she was kind of that sort of person. In fact, even though she was somewhat of a high class Haitian, she was in the upper, I'd say she was in the upper bourgeois of the Haitian aristocracy. She believed in voodoo, and she practiced it, and she was nuts.
Not voodoo.
Oh, you're talking about voodoo.
Voodoo, that's what you call it. Yeah,
voodoo.
That's what you practiced. That's what she practiced.
Okay.
I come over to the apartment, man, she had candles going all over the place.
And
she'd be performing some kind of ritual.
So she was a bruja.
Yeah, she was nuts. Trust me, jealous, passionate, insanely jealous, crazy as a coot.
Sarge, don't you know that black women are possessive, Sarge?
Yeah.
Man, this woman took it to a new level. This woman took it to a new level, man. I mean, you know, if she didn't have all them, if she didn't have all them other charms, man, I would have run out of there the first week. But I'm telling you, man, she has some virtues that made up for some of them flaws.
Okay, Sarge.
But it was frightening. I was frightened. I was afraid I was going to wind up a sacrifice some night.
Mm-hmm.
So I had to get out of that relationship, man. I'm sorry. I just had to.
Okay, but Sarge, riddle me this. Why has the United States kept Haiti so poor? And why is Haiti paying a colonial debt to France?
Right.
The United States hasn't kept Haiti poor.
Sarge.
United States hasn't kept Haiti. Why do you say that?
Okay, because they have. Okay, let me see here. Highway 15, Las Vegas, Nevada. All right. Just saw the sign saying Las Vegas, Nevada. I'm trying to hurry up and get the hell about this gruesome, newsome state. Sorry.
All right.
The fact
I'm going to tell you why Haiti is the way it is.
Why
Haiti has had...
Why?
Okay.
We're all here.
Admittedly...
Please tell us why.
Admittedly, Haiti has had a lot of foreign intervention. But mainly, the biggest thing wrong with it is political instability and natural disaster.
It's
okay?
The government.
Mm-hmm.
It's
That's
the
why.
Government. It's the government. It's the government. Sarge.
It's their government, not ours. Their government is a far bigger disaster than ours is.
Okay, but why is Haiti paying colonial debt to France?
Undoubtedly, they negotiated the payments to France for the assistance France has given to Haiti over the years.
For the what, sir?
What assistance, sir?
I mean, you know, Haiti is a debtor nation, you know.
Okay, but
why
what
is it a debtor nation?
Because the French,
it was all this property that was, in question after the Haiti Rebellion.
What property, Sarge? You talking about the sugar?
The property of the property of the colonists.
Okay, the property of the colonists.
Look, they wanted diplomatic. Wait a minute, they wanted diplomatic relations with France. Now you ask yourself. Why their leaders wanted to have diplomatic relations with France. As a consequence of receiving diplomatic relationship, they had to agree to indemnify the French for all the property, the people that were there lost, and the loss of their slaves. That's what they agreed to
in order
to get diplomatic relations. That's why, remember what I told you earlier, how important it is for nations to have diplomatic relations recognition?
All right, I remember recall vaguely making a statement like that. But how the
yes,
hell
well, that's the one. And the Haitians understood that in the 19th century.
Okay, but Sarge, why the hell would you still have to have a keep paying a colonizer?
Right.
Why?
Well, wait a minute. I thought they paid that money off anyway. They paid it off just after World War II.
Oh my gosh, sorry.
Sarge.
No, they did.
Okay,
they paid it off just after World War II.
Sarge, they still paying today.
All right, look. I'm coming up here to a junction, fellas. Mm-hmm. I'm seeing a sign that says Vegas and Noodle. Noodle's right lane. Okay, wait a minute. So that means Vegas is the left lane. All right. Okay. Out here in the middle of the desert. Look at these stars, folks, of how our ancestors navigated across the Sahara. when the Europeans could not
walk
their nasty, stinking ass.
Yeah.
And keep in mind, this is not hatred of white people. We are merely stating facts, and we advocate that we quit hating ourselves.
Oh, wait a minute now. What do you think about the United States occupying Haiti in the 20th century? What do you think about that?
In 1915.
Yeah, what do you think about that?
I don't think that was good.
You know why it happened, don't you?
Enlighten us, Sarge. You're a history buff.
Well,
it happened now, Sarge. I'm on a highway, Sarge. I'm not by my library. So I'll just put it down, Sarge. Enlighten us.
Well, again, it started off again. The United States had an opportunity, or rather businessmen in the United States, seized an opportunity to take advantage of the chaos and the corruption in Haiti because Haitian authorities accused their minister of fraud. And as a result of it, businesses in the United States decided to take advantage of the turbulence in the Haitian government to set up a bunch of investors to get control of the Bank of Haiti. The new bank defaulted on their payments. I think it was a bank in New York. I think it's the same bank that became Citibank later.
Okay.
They defaulted, and as a result of it, the national bank became Citibank. Yeah, I think it was Citibank. And I forget what they called it in 1915 or 1914 or 15, but they demanded the U.S. Marines go into Haiti and take custody of Haiti's gold reserve. And that's how it got started.
I see. Okay. All right. Okay.
But look, Haiti is a poor-ass country, and doggone it, the corruption in Haiti gave them the opportunity to take advantage of it. When you got a weak country that doesn't have much of an army, and you got unscrupulous businessmen, I don't care who they are, they see an opportunity to take advantage of it, they will, and that's what they did.
Uh-huh.
That's why you had that general, remember that Marine general called Smedley Butler, and he said war is a racket? He was one of the guys that got sent there to Haiti to do that, and he didn't like what they sent him there to do.
Okay. All right. Okay. Now, Versace, why is it that your boy, Joe Gibson, okay, why does Joe Gibson hate Shabaka Sankara so much?
I don't think he does. I don't think he hates you at all. He often speaks rather well of you. I don't think he hates you at all. Why do you say that?
Oh, wait a minute. No. I'm sorry. Let me rephrase that. I'm talking about your boy, Piaki.
Oh, okay, well, yeah.
And I mean, I really don't give a good goddamn if he hates me or not.
Well, look, I don't want to be a spokesman for Piaki. You know, he can speak for himself quite well. But I would imagine if I had to answer the question, I would imagine it would be because he thinks you're too hard-headed to learn anything from him.
Well, he's ignorant. He has nothing to teach.
Right.
All he does
you see what the cause of the impasse is now? See, right there is the reason why. There, you have just summed it up for yourself.
See, the man is ignorant. I don't hate the man. He's just ignorant. That's all. He doesn't know any better.
Mm-hmm.
Because he believes that some rapist, slave-trading-ass pedophile said that he's a citizen because his black ass was born in the United States of America. And with him being down there from St. Louis, his ancestors, you know, had chains on them as well, too. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. And then, like, he talked that shit that he's out of St. Louis, just like I was out of Oakland, and all that, so I gave him his respect. I even tried to apologize to Bianca.
But Chewbacca, I don't know what to tell you, Chewbacca, but the supreme law of the land of the Constitution says Pianchi is a citizen. What do you want him to do, act like he ain't?
Well, the man is ignorant. He doesn't know any better. I feel sorry.
Well, I believe I'm a natural-born citizen. I'm not just a citizen. I'm a natural-born citizen. I cannot be a citizen of any other country. No other country will accept me as a citizen. They won't give me a passport. They won't let me in their country without one.
Okay, they won't give me no citizenship. Oh, Lord, is that Joe Gibson? Oh, Lord,
okay.
Here we go.
Okay. If I want dual citizenship in any other country of the world, I gotta apply for it.
Okay, but
they're not gonna just let me assume it. Oh, I just declare myself a citizen of Ghana, and they're gonna let me be one? No.
So sorry.
Okay,
sorry. Before we bring.
And I got. By the way, I've got the DNA that shows I got 18% DNA from Ghanaian people. Ghanaian people are some of my ancestors. They ain't gonna let me be a citizen of Ghana.
Exactly,
okay,
Sarge. That was exactly what I was gonna bring up, Sarge. So do we have any dual citizenship in any African country?
No.
No.
Not unless you apply for it and they grant it.
Okay, hold on. Now, I want to explain this scenario here. Just give me about 30 seconds. Right now, I'm a black man out here in the middle of this damn desert, right? Any white police officer could come up here, pull me over, and blow my fucking brains out right here and lay me out in the sand. Does that make me a citizen?
It make you a murdered citizen.
It make you a murdered citizen. Wow.
Yeah, you'd be a murdered citizen. You'd still be a citizen even if you're dead.
Stars.
I mean, just because somebody murdered you, does not negate your citizenship.
Stars. Do you know the difference between a denizen and a citizen? Stars.
Hold on a second. I'll be right with you. Hold on a minute.
All right. Bring in Joe Gibson.
Oh, Lord. Okay.
Yeah, bring him in.
Yes. Well,
in
the fact of the matter is...
Come on, tell you from North Carolina, the one and only under conservative Joe Gibson. In this corner, the heavyweight champion of the world of Blog Talk on Highway 15 in the middle of the Mojave Desert, and cannot wait to get the hell out of this damn state of California. What's going on, Joe?
How you doing? I don't blame you for wanting to get out of California. If you need some help getting out of there, I'll bring you to North Carolina. You know, it may not be much better, but, you know.
Nah, Joe, I don't think a guy like me belongs down here in the Carolinas.
Okay, sorry about that. I'm back. I had to take a call real quick. Okay, now go ahead now. Where we left off? We're talking about citizenship, right? And
yeah,
I said that.
I asked you, Sarge, what is the difference? Do you know the difference between a denizen and a citizen?
Of course I do.
Well, would you
a
like
denizen
to
denizen is someone who merely inhabits a place.
Like a squatter.
Yeah, an inhabitant. You're a denizen of, say, a nightclub. Now, you inhabit it from time to time. Okay? You occupy
right.
it. If you're
right.
a citizen, that means you are a person in a country with specified duties, obligations, and privileges.
Uh-huh. Now,
according to that nation's laws.
Okay, now let me ask you this here, Sarge. When did we, as a people, black people, African descent, petition the United States to be citizens here, sir.
That's the beautiful thing about sovereignty there, brother. See, when a nation is sovereign, it decides what people on its soil are going to be what, whether they're immigrants on a green card, whether they're there on a visa, whether you're born there, and they make you a citizen. Every sovereign nation in the world does that, and that's what the United States did with black people living on their soil. That's
okay,
like I keep telling you, that is the beauty of national sovereignty. They all do it.
Okay, Bernard.
That doesn't answer the question, though. When did we petition?
No, okay, the answer to your question is no, we didn't petition, and it wouldn't have mattered if we did anyway. The laws of this nation were going to decide what our status is going to be.
I see. Okay, now, Sarge, now you just supported my premise right there, is that when you have frog face down in Montgomery.
Wait, who's frog face?
George Wallace.
Come on,
Sarge. Oh, okay, George Wallace. All right, all right. Okay, now I know. Okay,
who was the
governor
of the state where my ancestors slaved, where my family's blood was spilled? Alabama. Yes.
Okay.
Okay. Now, Sarge.
Rochai.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah,
so, as Kwame Ture had stated in a speech that I witnessed him give at California State University when I was 14 years old, this is a forced citizenship because we damn sure don't have equal rights here. Like right now, we'd be driving on this highway going 40 miles below the speed limit, the damn CHP to come up here, run this place. Oh, yeah, that's a box. Oh, we jacking him up just for the hell of it. What am I supposed to do, sir?
About what?
About being illegally kidnapped by some dude.
You mean arrested? You mean arrested?
A form of arrest. Or a precursor to arrest, because he has.
All right, we're about to go into overtime. Don't nobody hang up.
So, wait a minute, so. So you try to.
Don't nobody hang up.
So you're making the claim that to be detained by a police officer in any manner is an illegal kidnapping. Is this your contention?
Pretty much, yes.
Okay, I just want to know. I want to be clear. Okay, go ahead.
Okay. With no probable cause, you know, he run the plate. It's a legitimate plate. It's registered to Shabaka. You know what I'm saying?
Well, he shouldn't be running your plate. He shouldn't be running your plate. That's a violation of your Fourth Amendment right. He shouldn't be running your plate just for the heck of it.
Joe, I hate to tell you, no, it's not a violation of your plate. It isn't. It isn't.
I think
your license plates are, by their very nature, public. It is public information.
It contains your personal information. It's not public.
Right.
No. Any license plate can be obtained through a Freedom of Information Act request. You can get a license.
No,
sir.
Again. You can get anything through the Freedom of Information.
We're going into overtime. Don't nobody hang up.
Okay.
Well, right, you can't get HIPAA information through a Freedom of Information request.
Okay, but what Joe was saying, though, Sergeant, I agree with Joe on this one. The CFP,
you can't get income tax information through a Freedom of Information request.
We're talking about license plate information because it will contain...
Only by a court order. And so a judge would have to look at all that and issue a court order, and he has to be doing it under some authority that judge possesses. But that's not true with a license plate.
Okay, hold on.
That's why you have to display them publicly. They are there specifically in the state codes for a law enforcement officer to check the registration against the person using the vehicle and whether or not it is properly registered.
What probable cause does he have?
Exactly. What probable cause?
Okay.
Okay.
The probable cause. I'll answer you since I did this job for like 20 something years. Okay. You don't have to have probable cause to pull a car over.
So what do you have?
All you have to
Kansas
have is
first
a reason.
Lover, Sarge. Kansas first lover. Yes, you do.
All you have to have is a reason for the stop. In other words, you can pull someone over simply because you want to advise them of a hazard to their vehicle.
Okay,
but
now,
that's not getting there. That's not running their name, though. That's not
right.
Punching their name into their computer and obtaining personal information that
right.
is retrieved.
But
no,
right,
you can't
though.
Do that.
You're absolutely but, right.
Yeah,
but again,
that these
what, what's
going to
what's,
state records, they go into county records, and they go into federal records.
Okay. Once a stop has been initiated for any purpose, an officer can ask for the registration on the vehicle and insurance, which contains information. Every law's got, look, I don't know of any state yet that has said that it's made driving on a motor vehicle on a public highway a right. I don't know anybody that's done that yet.
No, it's a privilege, they say.
Well, that's the reason for it. That's the reason they have the ability to do all of this. Now, if and when the Supreme Court ever says that modern circumstances have made the necessity to drive a right, then that will change. But until then, every state
right.
has said it's a privilege.
Kansas versus Glover, Sarge. Supreme Court case right now going on. It's a big case. Kansas versus Glover.
Okay, enlighten us on the case, Joe.
I haven't heard of it. It's
pending about the Fourth Amendment and cops pulling people over just by running their license plate, especially with these scanners they have now. So it's a case pending, and they're challenging it right now. So if they win, they won't be able to do it no more.
Well, my understanding is that decision was decided for the state. That was the state won on that when it went to the Supreme Court. Are they asking the court to revisit it?
It's in front of the United States Supreme Court right now, Sarge. That's all I can tell you. That's what the article says.
Well, didn't they decide that case about 3 or 4 years ago?
Well, maybe the state did rule. States always rule against the people.
I think they already decided for the state in that case.
I don't think so, Sarge.
I think they did. Right, they decided. I don't know what state it was for, but I remember vaguely
Kansas. I just told you, Kansas.
Okay, I think they decided for the state.
Well, it doesn't give a decision yet, Sarge. I'm looking at it right now.
Now, wait, you said Kansas versus Glover, right?
That's correct. Kansas versus Glover.
I'm on a Supreme Court docket right now. It was argued November 4th, 2019. It was decided April 6th, 2020. It was 8-1 for the state of Kansas.
They can't vote against your constitution.
It was 8-1. They gave it 8-1 decision in favor of the state of Kansas in 2020.
Didn't you say, Sarge, that it doesn't matter if it's unconstitutional, it's null and void?
Yeah.
Yes, as a matter of principle, I say that, but remember this. How are you going to get anybody to act on the fact that it's unconstitutional when the Supreme Court just said it wasn't?
Well, that's irrelevant.
The only way around that The only way around that pretty much is a revolution or just a refusal to abide by
the order.
Maybe
that's what we need. Maybe that's what we need.
Yeah, well, I'm just saying, that's what would have to be done. That's what would have to be done.
Well, there was a guy in Oakland, California who said something similar, and they labeled him a fucking terrorist.
Yep.
Yep.
Well, he shot it out with cops. That kind of fits the bill.
No, he exercised his Second Amendment right.
That's right.
Well, I know you think he's a traitor, but Eldridge Cleaver said, yeah, we always try to start some shit with the cops.
He is a goddamn traitor.
Well, I'm just saying, that's what he said.
They got too
and
much
he was
power,
pretty
Doug,
influential.
Too much power. They
he
got too much power. They don't need to pull people over. They don't need to pull people over harassing people.
Well, here's the way you get around that, though, Joe. Remember, the people who run the police department, you elect the people who control the police department, who appoint the chief. So here's the thing. You could still tell your mayor and your police chief not to make so many traffic stops, can't you?
Sarge, it's corrupt.
You got
you know
a
that.
Quota. You got a quota, Sarge. Didn't you have a quota you have to make every month?
No, I was specifically told, in my training and in operations that any indication that you're enforcing a quota is going to be unconstitutional and they're going to slap it down. So we were told you can't have a quota, you don't have one. They just want to make sure you're working. And you're not just sitting underneath a viaduct all day long.
And how do they measure that, Sarge?
Okay, Sarge, now here's one for you. What's
the determining factor of that?
Here's one for you, Sarge. I'm going down a hill, okay? A freaking hill, okay, in L.A. County. And there's a stop sign at the bottom of the hill, right, Sarge? So what's going to happen 99% of the time when a car goes to that stop sign, Sarge?
99% of the time, there won't be a cop around to see it.
Bullshit,
not in this case. Oh, there ain't. I mean, you ain't cops ain't got nothing better than to sit on stop signs all day long. I mean, they get calls. You know, they get called to accidents. They get calls.
Hold it, Sarge. Now, keep in mind, this is in the county territories of L.A. County. The law enforcement agent who was sitting here who wrote me the fucking ticket through the stop sign was the California Highway Patrol officer.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
So I'm thinking that Joe has a point on that right there. Because shouldn't that bastard be out there on these goddamn crazy-ass highways of California?
Right.
These highways is crazy. I've driven them 50 fucking years. They're nuts.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But he's going to sit up there at a fucking stop sign. So when I signed the ticket, because if you don't sign the ticket, you got to take you to jail. I asked the officer, I say, officer, could you do me a great favor? And he says, what's that? I said, could you please not show up in court? Because if he does not show up in court, the judge would have to throw it out, but he still got documentation for his performance and evaluation to his superiors, that he did in fact go out and write a citation.
Not yet.
Hold it, you ain't heard not yet. All right, so I go to court. The cop is right there, and I'm like, shit. So the state of California loves getting in your pocket. They said, hey, for those of you in here with moving violation, we will throw the fucking ticket out, but what you got to do is come give us $300 and go to traffic school. Man, that's fucking highway robbery.
Yep.
Either way you look at it, in a literal sense.
Yep.
You know,
okay.
You see? And what nobody out there but me and the cop Little children were not crossing the street. Senior citizens were not crossing the street. Dope fiends were not crossing the street. So that's the story in it anyway. Because, hell, I saw a motherfucker loaded standing in the middle of the Las Vegas Strip. People honking at him. And he's just standing there. And he was fucked up.
I believe it.
I don't know what the hell he was on. Okay. No, that I really care. So I stood there. I leaned on my horn. And he's just standing there. Okay. Now, here comes the fucker. So the state of California says we want $250. You know. And I saw the cop right there. I says, look, man, you could have gave me a break, man. You know what I'm saying? You could have not showed up, man. You could have went and got your girlfriend, man, or one of them highway hookers out there. You know what I mean? So you know what I felt like? I was the victim of racial discrimination.
Well, I'm sure you did.
That's exactly what it was.
Mm-hmm.
Racial discrimination. And I could see if he was at the stop sign at the top of the hill. Why did he choose the stop sign at the bottom of the hill? Because this raggedy-ass state ran by Gavin Newsom. And a Democrat knows that 9 times out of 10, when a vehicle weighing in excess of 2.5 tons is going to bump and roll through the intersection. See, you see the logic right here?
Well, I may sympathize with what you just said, but I don't understand how you say that in and of itself is prima facie evidence of racial discrimination.
Oh, my God, SARS.
SARS. Because I'm a black man driving a car.
Right.
You're saying in a similar circumstance they wouldn't have given a white man doing the same thing a ticket? Is that what you're
saying? No.
You would have looked the other way, sorry.
And told him to be more careful next time.
You know this how? How do you know this?
Because I used to live near that intersection. People is always going down it. I'll see the cop pull him over. Oh, shit. Now, do I see one of these sons of bitches up here buried behind a fucking tree?
Uh-oh.
Oh, no, that's a rest area. Okay, I got on my night glasses now. Okay.
All right, well, pull in and take a rest. Well, give it a rest.
No, I got to get the hell out this damn state, Sarge. Now. As you know, as Joe gets to know, as Brother Che knows, here we go, dropping the damn speed. 60 miles an hour, speed will be enforced. Fuck this damn state. Shit, now I get the damn cruise control to work. Son of a bitch. Wait a minute. All right, hold on. Now, there's too many gear jammers over there with Southern license plates on that rest area. And it's in a desolate area. Yeah. Let's see. Mississippi, North Carolina, and Alabama. And I'm going to stop over there. No. That's not intelligent. Okay. Now, but what it is, though, Sarge, you know it. I know it. Okay. Just like when they used to have black folk on a chain gang building highways. Yep. Here we go again. Road work next 7 miles.
Mm-hmm.
And there goes CHP sitting right there, that dirty bastard. Okay, now. The fucking sign says 60 miles an hour for the next 20 miles, right? Now, I'm just past the sign that says speed limit 70 miles an hour.
You see how they have to get you?
Yeah.
See that? You see how they have to get you?
Yeah.
Say, now hold it. Now, I'm seeing a sign that says speed limit 7. All right, taking it to 7. All right, then me and the CHP have to go to court on this. But then again, I'm right at 7-0. All right. Now, guess what the beauty of it is, folks, when I get to Nevada? I get to do 75.
Yeah.
All right. Now, what I'm saying, Sarge, and you put a lot of time in with these guys, the policy enforced, the police enforced policy reduced speed. Oh, man, give me a break. Road work ahead. Boy, you are always building these raggedy-ass highways out here. Now I got a gear jammer on the side of me who's got his goddamn high beams in my fucking mirror.
He must be a racist.
Got him.
Hell yeah, he's a racist. I'm a black man in America. How is he not a racist?
Yeah. There you go. If shoe fits.
I'm not.
If the shoe fits, you might have got to wear it.
I got over in the right lane. Alright. Let me see here. Alright, how many more miles I got to get out of this damn loose state? And so, this state is fucked up. There's trash everywhere. The rest areas is garbage. You can't drink the water here. Damn. Alright, so get on with the rest of the show. We're in overtime. Okay.
Yeah. We got maybe 15 minutes left.
Okay. I am for the reparation. I want to make that perfectly clear. Okay? It's because if they got all this wine out here in California and got gold up in them there hills, okay, then they need to cut me a check. Although I'm no longer a resident here, but I've lived here for quite a few years, been subjugated to their police brutality and harassment, you know, and what that. Now, Joe, let's hear from you, my man. Now, you say that you're against reparation. And what was your reason, once again, Joe, why you're against the reparation? Joe?
Yeah.
Okay, why are you against the reparation?
Well, I mean, it's money's evil. There's no say. I mean, if you had real gold and real silver and real money there, Shabaka, then we can talk.
Did they tell the descendants of the Holocaust money was evil? Did they tell the Japanese that were interned in internment camps during World War II?
I would have.
Did they tell the Japanese that were involved in the Vietnam War?
It's monopoly money. It's monopoly money. It's fake. It's backed by nothing, man. Why do you want it? It's fake.
Why do we want it? Because it's a debt that's owed. Yo, that's why.
Okay. But hold on, Brother Chad. I want to bring something up right here. Damn, boy, I got over 100 damn miles to go. Shit. Oh, man.
I hate driving. I can feel you there. I can't stand driving. Man, just freaking.
And it's getting windy out here. You know, from the wild, wild west. You know. No, sir. Actually, I'm a few miles from Baker. Actually, I think Baker is the next city coming up. All right, now we back to 70 again. All right, let me put the cruise on 70.
There you go, 70, 55, 60. Well, anyway, catch you there speeding, you know.
No,
Oh, yeah, most definitely. And now, getting back to the policy enforcer, okay?
The police.
As opposed to the sheriff. Now, the sheriff in Cook County, although it's Crook County, because after all,
yeah.
It was the home county of Cole for many years. Okay? All right. Now, he is an elected official. Now, let the court start. They're taking the ballots from the cemetery again. Aren't the people casting the ballots for the sheriff registered at the cemetery, Sarge?
Yeah, we know that very well. I'm very familiar with that pattern.
Okay. And I wonder if my great-grandmother, may she rest in peace, I wonder if she still votes. Okay.
Well,
right.
Chicago, I know she is. She'll be immortal as long as Democrats reign.
Right. Now, glad you brought that up, Sarge. That mayor of Chicago, Illinois, what is
Brandon
that truth name, brother? Brandon
Johnson.
His stinking ass belongs in jail.
Yeah.
He belongs in jail. He's a no-good mayor, of what I'm seeing. Lori Lightfoot was a no-good mayor.
Yep.
I think that...
Robbie Manuel was a no-good mayor.
Yeah, an Obamaite, you know what I'm saying? Okay, now this dust is starting to kick up out here. Boy, I can imagine these guys out here on horseback 120 years ago. Yeah. Ooh-wee.
The only good mayor they had was Harold Washington.
Yeah, and he died in office. Yeah, he died in office. You know what I mean? And from what I understand, you know, let me get some high beams going. Because they do have deer that come out here. Who knows, might be a rattlesnake crawling across this road. I bash his brains out.
Yeah.
Yeah. Run him over. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. But anyway, though, now the police enforce policy. Okay. The sheriff is the only elected peace officer. Am I correct about that, Brother Jay?
Yeah. The sheriff is the only elected police officer?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Law enforcement officer. Okay.
I believe it's still about it.
Okay. So whereas the police are policy enforcers.
Yes.
And I just had to turn off my high beams because I'm pulling up behind one of these good old boys in these large cars. And he might decide to shoot my ass and do a George Floyd on me, you know.
Well.
It depends on
what city though, like, because in Denver the sheriff is not elected, the sheriff is appointed by the mayor.
Okay, now see, I'm glad you brought that up, Brother Chay. Now your city is the only city that I know of that goes into four different counties.
It's surrounded by eight different counties.
Yeah.
Via.
That's a first. And I'm here in the biggest county throughout the whole world. And I give you one guess, Sarge, of what county that is.
Trick, shall we say.
Huh?
No, Sarge, San Bernardino.
Oh, San Bernardino?
Yes,
Sacramento County.
No,
Los Angeles County. Los Angeles County.
No, the biggest county in California is isn't it San Bernardino?
Yes, sir. And it's 98% desert. If you ever saw a movie called Tell 'em Willie Boy Is Here with Robert Redford and Robert Blake, that's where the chase was on at, was in San Bernardino County.
Yep, in the Mojave Desert.
Yes, sir. Oh, wait a minute. Okay, now, Sarge, if the speed limit is 70, I'm allowed 5 miles and over the speed limit if I'm in a passing lane, correct?
I am not going to tell you how much you're allowed over because that can vary. You're allowed to pass, but that's entirely a subjective conclusion by the officer tracking your speed as to whether or not your speed was reasonable to overtake the vehicle.
Well, I'm passing all these large cars.
We give that officer a lot of discretion, you know?
Yeah,
I'm afraid so. If you read the statutes, they do.
All right. I'm right at
and the reason they could get away with it is because in most cases, these traffic offenses are not criminal. They're civil.
Okay. Civil as they're getting in your pocket.
Yeah. Don't show up and see how fast it turns the criminal.
Oh, yeah.
Well, that's a different matter. Then that's contempt of court.
Oh, yeah. What's contempt of court mean?
They issue a warrant for your arrest.
Issue a warrant?
Yeah,
because, you've been contemptuous of the judicial process for not showing up.
Contempt of...
I mean, that literally is the reasoning behind it. Literally.
Uh-huh. And then, if you go out there and tell a judge that I think this is a bunch of bullshit, then you're having contempt, of course.
Yep.
No, actually, they wouldn't hold you contempt of court right away. He'd probably just say, I'm going to admonish the defendant to not say that again. And if you do say that again, I'll hold you in contempt of court.
And they got some goons there for your ass called the L.A. County Sheriff's Bail.
That's right. That's exactly right. Everybody's got them.
Oh, yeah. So they're kind of like the judge's henchmen.
Yeah, goon squad.
You can say that. You can say that.
I got another name for them, too, Sergeant Joe, that I'm sure the two of you will agree with me on. I call them the goddamn Gestapo.
Yeah.
Yeah, I agree.
Well, I wouldn't call a courtroom bailiff Gestapo after all. Their duties are primarily confined and within the court. They don't go out looking for you. You come into the court.
Okay. All right. Now go on, hillbilly. Get your ass on by. I fucking knew it. You talk. I fucking knew it.
More
oh, shit.
Don't
yeah.
be having trouble out there, Chewbacca.
Well, I tell you, though, look, like I said, y'all need to elect me to some office because if they did, I'd make my goal to eliminate 40 to 60% of the laws on the book.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, Sarge.
Most definitely.
Okay, Sarge, with you being from Chicago, you know, man, pay me a few dollars, you know what I'm saying, and, you know, I'll tell a few people to vote for you.
Okay. So you know, so that means then that you'd have to be participating in this racist, illegitimate, evil system, right?
Sarge. Chicago, Illinois is racist city, USA, Sarge.
Yep.
Look at the race right there in 1919. Over there off of Lake Michigan. Okay?
Yeah. Red Summer. Red Summer.
Yeah, Martin Luther King said he ain't never seen a riot like he's seen in Cicero, Illinois, anywhere in the South.
Yes, sir. He said that was the most racist place that he ever been. Was
Marquette Park.
Chicago,
Marquette Park in particular.
As a matter of fact, that's where he got hit in the head with the brick was in Marquette Park.
Yep.
That's true.
Yeah. Now, I'm 103 miles from Sin City. Now, take 42 from 103. What is that?
That's 61, right?
61. Yeah, 61.
I got 61 more miles to get about this damn state.
So you're going to be there in less than an hour then. It's about 65 miles an hour.
Yeah.
Yes, sir. You know. And to hell with Gavin Newsom.
Right.
And peace his ass. You know.
Have you reached Baker yet?
Einstein. Huh?
Have you reached Baker yet?
As a matter of fact, Brother Jay, I should have been to Baker yet. But I don't see Baker nowhere. I don't see. The only lights I see out here is these assholes blinding me on the other side of the road and red lights in front of me.
Oh, have you reached Dunn yet?
Have I reached who?
Dunn.
No, sir.
Midway?
I haven't even reached. Nope. Hold it. Wait a minute. Let me see something here. I see a sign. Not a damn gear jammer just blocked. Shit.
Have you reached the halfway to Vegas line yet?
No. I see the speed limit, 70 miles an hour. Got a cement truck on my right side. And don't you crack my fucking windshield with that shit. Flying off. All right, hold it, folks. Okay. Wait a minute. All I see out here is dust. Oh, shit. Okay. All right, let's see here. Got another guy here hauling a trailer. Man, he's got all kind of shit up there. Okay.
What's the last town you see?
The last town I've seen, I believe, is, hell, I can't remember. Turtle Duck or some shit that I'm passing here. Like a little raggedy-ass creek full of sand and
Sarge, you go hunting at all? You do any hunting, Sarge?
Yeah, I do a lot of boar, wild hog killing down here in Georgia.
Oh, yeah?
Oh, man.
We overrun with him, dog. He got a bad problem in North Carolina too.
Yeah. It won't let us hunt.
I mean, these hogs
here, though.
In the southwest part of the state, these hogs are out of control.
Wow.
It's the southwest.
They do all kind of crop damage.
Yeah, they do.
Okay, Che, I'm 1 mile from Zizek's Road. ZZYZS. Zizek Road.
Okay. You're almost to Baker then.
Okay. All righty. I might need to go there and stretch my legs. Oh, shit. Boys. Heading out here to Sin City. Now, Joe.
Yes.
82 degrees right now. Okay. It shouldn't be no hotter than about 92 at the most tomorrow. And it's going to be sunny. And I would like to sit out in the sun with you out here tomorrow. Okay. To prove that we are not the same. And you have to let me know if you get sunburned, what are the first aid options to do? Because I'm not going to leave
you out here to die. I can promise you that I can sit out there just as long as you and nothing will happen to my skin. Nothing.
You sure about that?
Fact. I worked landscaping for many years. My skin is just automatic. It's changed, you know. It doesn't burn no more.
Okay, now let me ask you this here. Joe. Have you ever been in the desert in the summer months?
In the desert? Well, I've been in heat, like the desert, but not the desert, no.
Okay, that's what I'm about to tell you. The desert heat is way different, man, from humidity heat.
Yeah, right? I know, it's a dry heat, yeah.
Yeah, no, it's beyond dry. The coast of California is a dry heat. I'm talking about landlocked out here? Oh, man.
I'm pretty sure I'd be, well, I know out in the Midwest, the I know it doesn't get as hot as it does down there, but it has a dry heat, and that's basically the same kind of sun, and so I'm used to it.
No, and I'm sure Sarge will verify this. In the summer months of Chicago, Joe, you have literally 1,000% humidity.
Yes, Chicago, but I'm Wisconsin, Sarge. Wisconsin, they got dry heat.
Wisconsin.
No, they got the water. They're right there by the Great Lakes.
Really? All right, I could be wrong. I could be wrong, then. I don't know. I know I've been out there, you know. So it's just that, like I said, I'm used to. I've worked on the fields out there, so you know. I'm just telling you, my skin don't burn. It used to when I was 13, 14 years old.
Okay. So pretty much, Joe, what you're saying is that you had adapted to it.
Probably, yeah.
Okay. All right, Brother Che, I got Baker in my windshield.
Oh, snap.
Okay. And I'm going up this plateau. You can see the curvature of the hill going up.
Yeah.
Let's see, how's gas? All right, I think I got enough gas to make it to the state line. Okay.
Don't be running out there now, Chewbacca.
Don't get no gas in front of
No. Hell no.
Don't get no gas.
Ran out of gas in the wilderness. Okay. Well, unfortunately, I don't have no armaments with me.
That could be a big trouble.
I don't even have throwing knives with me. Damn.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, even California has a bad, bad Supreme Court ruling on you transporting your firearms in your vehicle.
Yep.
Well, California, Sarge, you can transport firearms, but the ammunition and a weapon itself must be separated, and it must be stored in the trunk. You know who they did that for, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, I know.
Oh, yeah, because they got tired of Dr. Newton exercising his Second Amendment right.
Yep.
All right, now what if your automobile doesn't have a trunk? Say, like, it's a Jeep CJ5. Then what?
Then you're going to have to put it in the payload.
In what?
In the payload.
Don't they let you have a lock? Wouldn't a lock case be sufficient?
Yeah, just as long as you don't have it within the front seat.
Got it.
And then what you would do is that if you get pulled over for a traffic stop, okay, and I did this one time and it almost got my head bashed in. Okay, because I got pulled over, you know, by the Metropolitan Division of the Los Angeles Police Department. Okay.
They can pull the plug anytime now, Chewbacca.
Okay. So let's keep it going. So,
wait, what about a motorcycle? What about a motorcycle in California?
Okay, now that, Sarge, I don't know because I'm not abreast on the motorcycle law. You could probably pull it up if you got your computer in front of you.
Yeah, okay.
I
think you could do it on a motorcycle, but you still got to have it in a locked container.
Okay. All righty. Now I'm getting ready to go up here. Okay. Yeah. Shoshone, next exit. And there's nowhere in hell. Oh, hell no. This place looks too desolate. No, thank you. No, thank you. No, thank you. No, I will not be out here by myself at nighttime. No.
Are you a banker now?
Yes, sir. I got the city of Baker on my left side. They say it's 73 degrees. Now, why is my inside temperature gauge saying 82? boy, this planned obsolescence of how they build these vehicles, these pieces of shit to fall apart. So you can go get pimped and financed again. So you got a point on that one there, Joe.
Chewbacca, that's the last gas until you get to Hollering Springs.
No. Hollering Springs.
No, they don't have a gas here.
Okay, I'm seeing a place that says Palm $228,000. Huh. Wow. Okay, let's see here. Can I make it to the state line? And the gas is high as hell over there. Now, I'm engaging my cruise device. Okay. Going up the grade. Okay. Wow, well, this car is taking this hill pretty good. All right. Might have some function left for me. Okay. Now we've got gear jammers out here.
Tima.
All right.
You can get gas in Tima.
In Tima?
Yeah, Valley Wells.
Okay. Well, is that a 76 gas station?
Shell.
A Shell. Okay. Oh, I think that's that son of a bitch that's charging $8 a gallon. Wait a minute.
They are charging
$7.50.
$7.50 or $6.50.
They want $7.50.
$6.50.
Okay. $6.50. All right, I'm 89 miles from Sin City.
It's in Nixon.
Okay. All right. I think I can make it.
Say, Shabaga, since you're doing a travelogue tonight, are you going to do an updated version of the Green Book?
Oh, my God.
The Green Book. Tell Joe about the Green Book, Sarge. Joe, I know...
You're going to do an updated version?
Huh?
I say, are you going to do an updated version of the Green Book?
But wait a minute. Yeah, I thought California was a free territory, Sarge.
Say what?
Territory.
Well, not according to you.
No, Sarge. We said that during the gold rush... A lot of the slave owners have brought their slaves to California, and they didn't let their slaves know that they were free in California.
Right.
Yeah, well you got to remember, man.
The master taught it. See, the slave only knew what the master taught it.
I don't think they got free right away. They had to spend a certain amount of time in California before they could claim that they had the right to be free. I think it was like 90 days. 90 days, I think, was the limit.
Okay, pull it up, would you, Brother Chang?
I think they just set foot across the border, and they were there with the slave owner. I don't think they automatically became free.
Well, you know damn well the slave owner wasn't gonna tell them that they were free.
Right.
Well, yeah, but I'm saying, but if they found out, there had to be a statutory amount of time they were there for. I'm pretty sure. It's like with Illinois, like with Dred Scott in Missouri. Because Dred Scott was basing his claim on the state laws.
Yeah, you have to get with Bianchi on the Dred Scott case. That's his neck of the woods.
Yeah.
Right. But, you know, I mean, it wasn't like automatic. You just come there and next thing you know, you're free. It might have been that way in one or two states. I can't remember which, but I don't think it was that way in California.
Okay.
It's a year.
It's a year, Sarge.
It says slaveholders have 1 year to reclaim their property and to leave the state. So during the Gold Rush.
Okay, yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
That sounds probably about right.
1848 to 1850.
Okay, so that means in the year 1848, if Joe would have brought me out here, because Joe was bum rushing the gold, and I was his slave, I would still be his property here, correct?
For a statutory period of time, yes.
Uh-huh. Okay, now, after I've read a few books and got to thinking and realizing my position, what do you think my next move would have been?
I'm not going to speak for you, but I suspect what you might have done.
Okay, what is the probability that I might have done?
I think you were taking extreme measures to assure your liberty.
Pretty much, yes. With extreme prejudice, if I might add. Nothing personal against Joe, but I'll just say, Joe, hey, homie, check this out. I'm no longer your property, amigo. Later, you know.
I got to go.
Now,
so they had a lawsuit. They had a lawsuit during that time between Robert Perkins, his brother Carter, and their business partner, Sherry Jones, about the first lawsuit challenging state slave law. Passed just 6 weeks earlier, it decreed that any enslaved black person who had entered California when it was still a territory had no legal rights and freedom, even though the state constitution banned slavery.
Well, as you all know, California used to be its own republic. Okay, after the Mexican-American War, Sergeant, I think we was talking about that one night.
Yeah.
Yeah, because they got a monument at Cahuenga Pass, which is in North Hollywood, out there by Universal Studios, saying this is where they signed the treaty at in 1847. And from 1847 to 1849, California was its own country.
Yeah.
That's why the state flag here says California Republic. Come on, Steve Jammer, get your slow asses out of my way.
The Compromise of 1850.
The Compromise of 1850?
Yep.
Okay. But California was a state in 1849.
Yeah, and Congress cobbled together the Compromise of 1850, a series of bills admitting California as a free state, while also granting important concessions to the South that included a draconian federal Fugitive Slave Act, which required government officials and ordinary white citizens in all states and territories to actively assist slaveholders in recapturing enslaved people who escaped slave-holding jurisdictions.
Well, you got to remember, too, now once the Mexican-American War was over, and the treaty of, what the hell was that, Cahuenga? Was signed, it became an American territory. The period of being a republic was short-lived. It was about just over a year.
Right. Because it became a state in 1849. And the gold...
Yeah, but it was
government.
A territory before that. It was a republic when the California rebelled against Mexico and the Bear Flag revolt was successful. Then it became a territory as when the Treaty of Guadalupe Hidalgo was signed, then it became a state.
Okay. So, in other words, no wonder the politics here is so screwed up. They screwed up when they created this state. Okay. Now, why did they make Sacramento the capital, Sarge?
I don't know. It's probably got something to do with racism. I know you're going to tell me that.
Okay, probably because it was close to the dome. Because Sacramento, as when you go east of Sacramento, that day is where you start climbing up there into the Sierra. Yeah. Well, yeah, and that there is where that dude who come down with his funky ass with that raggedy mule with no teeth chewing tobacco, screaming and hollering, "There's dogs in there, man, here!"
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Boy, that there must have been a hell of a trek, too, folks. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
That must have been a hell of a trek. And then, of course, as y'all know, you know about Diner's Pass of 1841, right?
Stars.
Yeah, Stars. I know you know about Diner's Pass.
Yeah, the Diner Party. Sure, the Diner Party got stranded there by a snowstorm, and they had to resort to cannibalism to survive.
Yes, sir. And do you know, Sarge, it could
but wait a minute, apparently they didn't kill anybody to eat them. People died because of starvation and because of the weather and disease, and then they would eat the people there who had died. They didn't murder anybody.
Yeah, I guess I'll just have to starve to death.
I mean, it's like those, remember that, that aircraft with the, Chilean, Argentinian or Chilean soccer players that they got stranded on a mountain in the Andes.
Yeah, in the early 70s. Yes, I remember that very well.
Yeah, they did the same thing.
Yeah, they made a movie called Survive.
Right.
About
they
that.
Did the same thing.
Had, yeah, where they had ate the dead bodies because they were stranded up there. And what had happened was they were up there for about a good 3 or 4 weeks before somebody had the notion and says, you know what? Ain't nobody going to find us. We're going to have to crawl up.
They were there longer than 3 weeks. Oh, no, they were there longer than 3 weeks. They were there like 3 months.
Damn.
Yeah.
They were longer than 3 weeks. And ain't too many people going to start eating human flesh after only 3 weeks.
Damn. Wow.
Only for months.
Yeah, the only thing I can say about that, man, is that's abominable. That is. That's an abominable. I couldn't have done it. I could not have done it.
All right, gentlemen, we need to wrap this up.
How much time we got left?
We're in overtime. We've been in overtime.
We might as well just start our closing statements so we can have a complete show as opposed to it being cut off. Closing statements, anybody?
Okay, well,
bro. You
know, I...
Oh, you go, Stars, too.
No, you go ahead. You go ahead.
Go ahead, Joe. Joe, what is your closing statement? Joe?
Did Joe fall asleep on us?
I don't know. He might have. All right, go ahead, Sarge.
Okay.
Well, you know, I mean, I think that, it started out talking about words are needed to convey meanings and be as accurate as possible. And I just think we all remember that at all times.
Okay.
Words have meaning. Words have meaning.
Okay. All right.
All right.
Okay. My closing statement is this here. I'm coming to you from in the middle of the Mojave Desert, in the middle of a place called California. And yes, California, kick out the reparations check. Yes, United States government, kick out the reparations check.
That's right.
Okay, Governor DePanty of Florida,
you and Trump should see you in the same jail cell. You know what I'm saying? Because both of you cats stink, okay? And a man of DeSantis' ignorance, who's a Yale graduate, who was a military officer, and was a JAG, a lawyer. And how can he sit up there and say some outlandish and sensitive shit that he does? I think that the people and the state of Florida need to recall his ass. That's my closing statement.
All right. So thank y'all for putting into the episode of Box of Black Experience and Hands, season 7, episode 390. 390, yeah. 390.
Yeah.
Season 7, the air date of this program was October 17th, 2023. Make sure y'all check us out Friday for Grand Rising, which is about at 8 a.m.
Yes, 9 a.m.
Mountain, 10 a.m. Central, and 11 a.m. Please make sure to subscribe to all of our platforms. Blog Talk Radio and on Facebook. Frontline Black News on YouTube and Facebook. And the Revolutionary Agenda on YouTube and Facebook. So, we welcome the collapse of the two-party system. It has to go. The Democrats are voting on themselves, along with the Republicans are voting on themselves. We welcome the collapse of the duopoly. So, if you're going to vote, vote for some candidate. Otherwise, hold your vote and get some candidate from any of the two major parties. And maybe, just so maybe, in 2024, an independent candidate will actually win for once. So stay black, stay dangerous, stay empowered. So thank you for coming on, Joe Gibson and Stars. You know you are both welcome anytime as long as you are respectful. And thank you, Shabaka. Safe travels. Let me know when you get to the next city. So I'm gonna go out with Chip Ahoy.
Absolutely.
Thank you. see men, women, and baby slaves coming to the land of liberty, where life's design is already made. So young and so strong, they're just waiting to be saved. Oh, I'm so dying, and I know you're dying too. Look over the horizon, see the sun shining down on you.
Ship ahoy, ship ahoy, ship ahoy, ship ahoy.
So big.